జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి హరిశైల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నిథిల్లా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమసహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గౌరీష్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురుణ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గౌరీష్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామిషుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని తినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపగదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీతి నామిని శ్రీవర్షభానవిదేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణే నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయతే నమః నమో భక్తివినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయ దేం గౌరావిర్భవభూమేస్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియాః వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః వాంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయ దే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాత్వికం హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురదౌభాంగోర్మమందమదీర్ఘధీమత్సర్వస్వ పదాంబోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమద్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్రాధా శ్రీల గోవిందదేవో ప్రేష్టాలిభిస్సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్ రాసరసారంభీ వంశీ వడతటస్థితాః కర్షాన్ వేణుస్వనిర్గోభిర్పునాదాశ్రయేస్తునాః తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
Before we begin Bhagavad Gita, there are prayers to Bhagavad Gita meant for meditation. These verses Prabhupada has translated them, originally written by Shankaracharya, and they are very well-known verses. So I'll just will start reciting them as well. So if you could just give it to everyone, copy please. One page, yes. पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितं पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं वर्षिणीं भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वा अनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम् नमोस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्रम् येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णं प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपाः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमाम् सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महन् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतडा जयद्रुतजला गान्धारनीलोत्पलाः शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुलाः अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमगरो दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवै रणनदी कैवर्तककेशवां पाराशर्यवचःसरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथासम्बोधनाबोधितं लोके सज्जनषल्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाभारतपङ्गजं कलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदेर्गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुःसुरा असुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः. So these verses are the prayers to Bhagavad Gita. You can see if you read the translation also says Bhagavad Gita, with which Partha was illumined by Lord Narayana himself, which was composed within the Mahabharata by the ancient sage Vedavyas. O Divine Mother, destroyer of rebirth, the shower of the nectar of Advaitam, and consisting of 18 discourses upon thee, O Gita, O affectionate mother, I meditate. Salutations unto thee, Vyasa, O broad of broad intellect, and with eyes like the petals of a full-blown lotus, by whom the lamp of knowledge filled with the oil of the Mahabharatam has been lighted. Salutations to Lord Krishna, the Parijada or the Kalpadaru or the bestower of all desires for those who take refuge in him, holder of the whip in one hand, the holder of the symbol of divine knowledge and the milker of the divine nectar of Bhagavad Gita. All the Upanishads are the cows, the milker is Krishna, the cowherd boy Partha is the calf, men of purified intellect are the drinkers, the milk is the great nectar of Gita. I salute Shri Krishna, the world teacher, son of Vasudev, the destroyer of Kamsa and Chanura, the supreme bliss of Devaki. With Keshava as the helmsman, verily was crossed by the Pandavas the battle river, whose banks were Bhishma and Drona, whose water was Jayadratha, whose blue lotus was the king of Gandhara, whose crocodile was Shalya, whose current was Kripa, whose billow was Karna, whose terrible alligators were Vikarna and Ashwathama, whose whirlpool was Duryodhana. May this lotus of the Mahabharatam, born in the lake of the words of Vyasa, sweet with the fragrance of the meaning of the Gita, with many stories as its stamens, fully opened by the discourse of Hari, the destroyer of the sins of Kali, and drunk joyously by the bees of good men in the world, become day by day the best of good to us. I salute that Madhava, the source of supreme bliss, whose grace makes the dumb eloquent and the cripple cross mountains. This verse is from Sridhara Swami's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And this last verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam at the very end. Salutations to that God, whom Brahma, Indra, Varuna, Rudra and the Maruts praise with the divine hymns, of whom the Sama chanters sing by the Vedas and their Angas in the Pada and Krama methods and by the Upanishads, whom the yogis see with their minds absorbed in him through meditation and whose ends the hosts of Devas and Asuras know not. You keep it there. Yeah, okay, okay, give it to me. All this. Give it to Bhupendra will distribute it. Yeah.
You will keep it. You want to give a copy for yourself.
So, last Sunday, we have started with this chapter, verse 3, the third verse, isn't it? In this chapter, the opulences of the Absolute. First, Krishna says to Arjuna that what is the importance of this chapter, which we have spoken before. Shrunume paramam vacha yatteham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamyaya. Those two lines we spoke about. Because Krishna wants Arjuna hitam, not priyam. Because of that, and because priyam is coming from inside Krishna's towards Arjuna, he says, for your hitam's sake, I am going to say certain things. And that's how he begins this chapter. Hitam and priyam, these two things are different. Hitam means what is good for us. Priyam means what pleases us, which is two different things. So for the sake of hitam, Krishna says, I am going to tell you certain things, not because of the priyam. But priyam comes from inside. He says, yateham priyamanaya vakshyami hitakamyaya. That is how he began that chapter. And then, name vidu suraganaha prabhavanna maharshaya aham adihi devana maharshinam cha sarvasha. Krishna says that because even the great personalities don't understand me, Krishna says, name vidu suragana prabhavanna maharshaya. My prabhavam is unknown even to the rishis, to the sages even. Why? Aham adihi devana maharshinam cha sarvasha. I've been there even before, long before they had come to this world. They had come into existence. Even before that, I existed. From the spiritual, Krishna is talking purely as Ishvara, the supreme controller. He's saying that from the soul, Atma, is again stressing the importance of that. Name vidu suraganaha prabhavam na maharshaya aham adirhi devana maharshinam ja sarvasha. Because they have all maharshis, demigods and all the maharshis, demigods and all of them have come from me, and therefore they won't know me properly. They won't be able to know me properly because they come from me. Naturally, it is understandable. It's something which has come from the source. The source is not unknown to them completely, the potency of the source. That's why he mentions in that verse, it is not possible to know my origin. For in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and the sages. After saying that, Krishna mentioned in the third verse, which we were discussing last Sunday. Yo mam ajamanadim cha veti loka maheshwaram asammudasa martyeshu sarva babai pramuchyade. Very important verse. Two things Krishna mentions there, ajam and anadim. That is what we were talking about, isn't it? Why it is so important? You can see the problem that, you see, time and space, it is, now scientists are talking about creation, is it not? They want to find out the creation process, how it all created. Vedantam says, don't worry about creation. First you have to understand time and space. Without knowing time and space, studying creation has no meaning. Because where is this creation existing? You have to ask that question, isn't it? So space is an important factor. When we don't understand even the space, how can you explain the creation? This is the question of the Shastram. Vedas are asking us, when you do not know even the space, where is the question of explaining creation? Similarly, when you do not know even time we are going to discuss now, when you don't know about the time, how you are going to explain about the creation? So before discussing creation, we have to know about time and space, these two factors. Because creation is dependent on these two, time and space. And science doesn't bother about time and space because they haven't got a clue how to discuss it. What they go on saying is that some Big Bang happened and this happened and that happened, and they are now trying to find out by like experiments process how this creation has happened. All this has no meaning because we don't know what is time, what is space first. Isn't it? Time and space is unknown to us. Krishna is saying to us, the very nature of the Absolute Truth is ajam, which has no birth. That is why the very basic concept about the time is it has no origin. It has no, Krishna says there, we discussed this also, ajam, the word ajam means something which has no birth, which has no origin. So, as we saw on the same basis, Alma, the soul, has no origin. It has no birth. It is all based on the body that what we are celebrating so many things, isn't it? We are celebrating many things like birthdays and so many death and everything is celebrated based on the body. That is why Krishna is asking this question that, that as we discussed last time, Kapila Vasudeva also says to Devahuti Devi that when would you say somebody is born? Is it that when he came out of the womb? Or is it that when he was conceived? And at different times throughout the growth of the body, different limbs were born, heads came out, male or female was decided. So at different points, different things happened in the process of taking birth. Is it not? With the body is concerned. Within the womb and outside the womb also. After taking birth, when we came out, then we had a child's body, then we had a teenager's body, then again a youth's body, and then a middle-aged man, old-aged man, and then eventually death and gone from here. So it's a strong change what is continuously happening in the features of the body. So Krishna's question is, this question of birthday and all that what we celebrate has practically, is all in with reference to the body. It has nothing to do with the soul. So therefore, in this verse when Krishna is saying that Yomam Ajam, that Ajam word is very significant because based on this Ajam only you can understand the soul. Otherwise you will never understand the soul. Completely identifying with the body to understand Ajam is difficult. Ajam refers to the one which has no birth. As I said before, from this word Jam came all the other words, germinate, gender, and generic. So many English words, they have all come from this word Jam. Jam is the root word. Ajam means one which has no birth. One which has no birth. So, therefore, first of all, Krishna says, what does Ajam mean? So, that's what we talked about it last Sunday also. So, so Krishna's question is, which one would you say is your birth? When were you born? First, as we looked at the third canto, Tritiya Skandam in the Bhagavadam, where he discusses, Krishna is saying that initially, before we were born with a body, our origin is from the semen, how a small drop, budbudam, kalalam, like that, it grows and grows in over different periods of time. So when was this birth taking place? Somewhere in that time, the jiva enters into the body. And life begins from there, which we don't know when that is happening. And we don't have a date of birth for that. So it is difficult to celebrate this date of birth with any sensible meaning. But of course we celebrate it because it's a custom that has been followed by thousands of years with, with with, because somebody says to us, we don't know that we were born, do we? When we were born, we don't know that. Somebody is telling us and gives us a paper saying that this is your date of birth. From the hospital they'll give it to you and tells you that you were born on such and such a day, in such and such a ward, in such and such a hospital, and that's your date of birth, and it's stamped on you from then on. And for so vyavaharam purposes, for be doing the business in this world, we need all these things. But from the spiritual point of view, it's all useless, totally useless. From the vyavaharam point of view, yes, you need, because to have the passport, the date of birth is necessary, and for everything, including bus pass, you need it. So, without that, only if you are 65 years, you can have a free pass, so you need the date of birth for everything. So, like that, so many things, what you do in vyavaharam has no meaning at all when it comes to spiritual life. We have to know where to live with that. So, Krishna mentions here, Yomam ajam anadimcha. Anadimcha, Krishna says here, this appearance of the body is not my birth. Appearance of body is not my birth. It is appearance of the body it is. And it is an incident in the nature. In the nature, it is an incident that has happened. But vastu, what we are, whom we are always conscious of, is not this body. It's of our existence as awareness. Isn't it? This is our existence as awareness. As Antaryami inside, which is coming from Krishna directly. Antaryami is Krishna, and from Krishna comes this awareness to us. Our existence, that is our real identity. We have nothing to do with this bodily identity. But this has happened due to that. So once our attention falls on that real aham, real I am, that when it happens, then we will lose our interest in the bodily identity. We lose till our attention falls on the truth of what we are actually. So that is why once this question was asked, sometimes people ask this question about rebirth. Isn't it? Punarjanmam. Rebirth. People always ask this. They say, do you believe in that? Many people will ask this. Generally, among the people. When you say to them about Bhagavad Gita, oh, do you believe in rebirth? They will say it to you like that. They'll ask you like that. So once this question was posed to a famous sannyasi, his answer was this. Very interesting. He says, have you born now? He asked back, have you taken birth now? That was his answer to that. Because, then this person who was asking the question, no, I'm just worrying what will be my next birth. He says to him, you've already decided you want to have a next birth, haven't you? That was how they see it. Those who have higher understanding and realization, who are not on the bodily identity, they will see the body from a different way than the way we see the body. We keep crying here, saying, oh, I have to come back again, I have to accept another body, life after death, another body, we keep worrying about it. So once you have come to this understanding, there is no such thing called birth, there is no such thing called death. That means you are on the spiritual platform. And then onwards, whatever goes on with the body, coming and going, has no meaning to you anymore. And that's the only way you can escape from this cycle. This rebirth is an interesting question, isn't it? In one sense, yes, there is rebirth. In another sense, there is no rebirth. Bhagavad Gita, when you study this you must understand. Otherwise, it is full of contradiction it becomes. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, in the second chapter, in one place Krishna says, if you die, you have to accept another body, then you have to accept another body. He says like that. In another place, in the same chapter, Krishna says that there is no such thing called birth or death, isn't it? You'll see two verses contradicting totally. Why is it? It's not contradiction. It's because we haven't understood that in what sense Krishna has spoken that. In one place, Krishna is saying that rebirth is there, but it is for the body. So long as you accept that you are the body, yes, you have a rebirth. But the moment you have moved on to the spiritual identity, a spirit soul, then you have no rebirth. Then there is no coming back again. That will go as soon as you have identified with the soul, not on intellectual level, but in consciousness. Intellectual level doesn't help. intellectual level you can argue either way. But what Krishna is saying here is that as soon as you, you see, you can see, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmad aparihariyarthe natvam shochitum arhasi. Krishna says to Arjuna that you, one who dead, he has to take birth, and one who is taken birth, he has to die. It is a problem which cannot be solved, Krishna says. Therefore, there is nothing to lament about it. In one place, Krishna says like this to Arjuna. In another place, Krishna says, na jayate mriyate va kadajil nayam bhutva bhaito vanabhuya ajaha nityaha shashvataha puranaha na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Exactly opposite thing he has said. So, from the spiritual point of view, there is no birth. From the spiritual platform, if you speak, there is no birth. From a spiritual platform, there is no sin called death. From on a bodily identity, there is birth. On a bodily identity, there is death. Death is for the body, not for the individual, not for the our spiritual nature, which what we are, that ahamasmi, that awareness, consciousness, that has no birth. There is no death either for that. So, he said to him that, so what will happen to me in my next life, he said. Because this is how our mundaneness in us, that bodily identity, how it works within us. It is like this. So then he asked him, have you born now? He said, are you born now? He says, yes, I am born now. So then you ask this question, who is asking this question, saying this that you are born now? Find out that who it is, saying that you are born. We keep saying, I am born. Who is that I who is talking this? Body is not saying this, I am born. Somebody else is saying this. And that is where that jnanam is, that avidya is there in that place. And if you keep inquiring this, that awareness, that is our pure identity. And this is the only tangible thing what Krishna has given to us to hold on to, which is this consciousness. In that consciousness or awareness, our existence is in that, not in the body. Not in the body. So, if you keep inquiring, who is this asking this question? You will see there that it is only coming from that false ego. From the false ego, and it is only an appearance. False ego means that when you are any time in identification with the body, it is false ego. That's identifying with the body, isn't it? So, when that disappears, when the false ego get completely wiped out from inside, and you are totally in identification with your spiritual identity, at that time, that you will realize that you are ajam. That is what Krishna is saying here. Krishna says that ajam, principle of ajam, what Krishna says, yomam ajam anadim cha, ajam. Ajam means that. That I am vastu, vastu means I am that thing which has no death, no birth. I am ajam. I am not born, I always existed, isn't it? So, awareness or consciousness is the one which is always existing. Even that is why that deep sleep example is spoken very much about it. As soon as you go into deep sleep, everything disappears. But when you wake up, first thing is you are saying that you had a good sleep. You enjoyed the sleep. Isn't it? Who is reporting that? That's coming from that source, ajam. Ajam is reporting that. Because even in the deep sleep state, your existence has not gone away. Everything else has gone. Body has gone. Mind has gone. Intelligence has gone. Ego has gone. Everything has gone. Ajam hasn't gone. Ajam still exists. Because ajam is the one who is experiencing all that. And that is why as soon as you woke up in the morning, first thing you are saying that, oh, I didn't know anything what was happening. Yes, you didn't know. You're true. You're saying the truth. You didn't know about your body, you didn't know about your mind, you didn't know about your intelligence, you didn't even know your ego. And you can see, when all these things were taken out, you are in your happy state, ajam. So this state, ajam, is so important in spiritual terminology. It is our true nature, not the bodily identity. That is what Krishna is clarifying here. So, and not only that, When the mind gets dissolved in that, in the deep sleep, it becomes anadi. When do you lose the sense of time? In deep sleep, isn't it? In dream state, you don't lose the sense of time. In waking state, you're very conscious of it. But in deep sleep, you lose that sensitivity to time. and that is called anadi. Anadyam cha. So when you know time doesn't exist, that is called anadi state. Anadi state. Krishna is saying, Yomam ajam anadyam cha. These two things, ajam and anadi. So when there is no time, what does that mean? There's no beginning, there's no middle, and there is no end to it. There's no end to it. This time is a very confusing thing to everybody, isn't it? We are so much conditioned by the time. We think everything has to be based on it. So we are holding this all the time, isn't it? In the hand. Now, of course, mobile phone has replaced that, but we are conscious of this thing called time. Why? Because we think that without time, how can we live? We think like that. Oh, everything has to be based on the time. But Krishna is saying to us that as long as you are in this grip of time, it is difficult to understand me, Krishna is saying. Because ajam anadi is Krishna's nature, spiritual nature. Nature of the soul is ajam and anadi. You can't tell the soul about the time. Soul is not going to listen to you. Soul will think you are gone crazy. The soul's answer to the time is that soul doesn't have, never had to do with the, anything to do with the time. We have, on a bodily level, has to deal with the time. So, when does time start? When the mind comes. When the mind movement happens in the mind, time starts. Otherwise, there is no time. In other words, in your awareness, in your consciousness, time cannot stay. It can only stay in your mind. If you remember that, you will know this. It's a very important principle in spiritual life. Otherwise, you will never become come to the platform of spirituality. You will always remain in the mundane bodily level, thinking that time is important, time is important, time is important. Time is not important. When it comes to spirituality, time has no value. We are eternal, Krishna is saying. There is no question of death is concerned. So, when the mind moves, time begins. It is in the mind that this time comes, not in the consciousness. On the other hand, in awareness or in the spiritual identity, in consciousness, that time cannot stay. Time cannot stay there in consciousness. That is why in the waking state and in the dream state, time is there, bothering you all the time. When you go to deep sleep, the time doesn't bother you. Why? Because you are in your spiritual identity at that time. That is why time doesn't have any effect on us. Time doesn't have an effect on us on the deep sleep state. So therefore, if you always give attention to your awareness, immediately you can understand this thing. People like it very much. You can see here, often, suppose you are doing something very busy with doing some important things. You're rushing to do some things and you manage to finish it up. After that, you want to sit time. Sit some time quietly. You don't want to do anything. Why? Because you don't like it, this thing called time. Time is like a demon on your head trying to control you all the time. Because we fall into that trap of the time. And because karmam, time means karmam. Karmam comes from that. So therefore, why do we want to free ourselves from this effect of time? Because you want to free yourself from the karmam. In order that karmam don't stick to us, the only thing what you can do, you have to get yourself free from the karma, time first. Karmam and time are linked very closely, isn't it? You can see every project is time bound, isn't it? Okay, you may not call it as a project. In your daily life also, if you look at it, everything is time bound, isn't it? And you have to do certain things at certain times and should be finished by such and such a time. Even an average man's life, it is like that. So everything is time bound. That means that your karmam is linked to the time, what you are doing at that time. That's your karmam. That karmam is linked to the time. But once we become more Krishna conscious, once we become more spiritually aware, you will see yourself that the influence of time is leaving you. And if less like karmam goes away, time also goes away from your effect on you, influence on you, will leave you at that time. And what does normally we say, once you're conscious of the time, you feel certain frustration. Once you're conscious of the time, you start saying, oh, I'm getting bored, I have nothing to do. People say like this, isn't it? People say like this. So they're saying they're getting bored because they have nothing to do. Why is that? It's because you're conscious of the time. Because you're conscious of the time. Because if you don't know about the time, suppose in your awareness or in your mind, this thing called time is not disturbing you, then you won't be disturbed by or bored by anything. That's how it is. That's, you have to observe yourself. Carefully, if you observe your own life, you will see. Whenever you have complained that you are getting bored or you are getting, I have nothing to do now, I got some free time, you say. Is it not? So that's, you get worried about it. What shall I do now? I have nothing to do. So that starts worrying you. So this is because this factor called time has gone into the mind and disturbed the mind. That's what it is. So even this thing called time is unknown to us, what it means actually. Time and space are the two things which has to be clear before we can talk about creation. Creation comes much later. And as long as these two factors, time and space, are unknown to us, it is no point in discussing about creation. So where is creation? Creation is within time and space. Is it not? If you study Upanishad, all these things are explained very well, particularly in Brihadaranyam. Brihadaranyam asks this question. You are talking about creation, but where is creation? It is in time and space. Is it not? When did it start? That will be the first question. Then you start giving some speculation, 400 billion years or 30, I think now what they are saying is 13.5 billion. That's their calculation now. 13.5 billion years they are saying this creation happened. So similarly, where is the creation happened? You can't explain that because you don't know what space means, isn't it? So these problems are there. Unless we know time and space, you cannot explain creation. It is not possible. There's no point in doing research after the creation when you cannot know what is time and space. So that is why this boring, we get boredom when we say like that, because if you do not know about the time, you're always in the happy state. You're always in the happy state. Time comes, disturbs the mind, and therefore you're feeling the boredom. You're feeling the boredom. So one of the definitions for anandam, spiritual bliss as it is called, is not to know the time. The definition itself is like that, not to know the time. So if you do not know the time, you are always in a state of bliss. What is the reason? Because time is mind. Time is mind, nothing else. It has nothing to do with your consciousness. It is completely in the mind. And once this mind withdraws, or if the mind stops its function, then you will see, you will not know the time. The concern about the time, the anxiety about the time, everything is coming from the mind. If the mind withdraws and somehow it becomes stable or it's very peaceful, shanti state comes, then there is no time after that. That is why that shanti or anandam, when you experience, it is not time bound. It's not time bound. All other things are based on the time. Based on the time. So if you do not know, the mind is not moving. If there's no movements in the mind, you won't know the time. For example, if you are listening to some conversation or a lecture, and if you keep on listening, you won't be conscious about the time. And you may even say, oh, only how come it has gone? So much time has gone. How is that? And because you are in that state of anandam rather than conscious of time. That shows that very clearly, isn't it? If you are in the conscious of the anandam of the spiritual life, then time cannot enter there. Time cannot enter there. And on the other hand, if you are getting bored with the lecture or bored with what is spoken, every 5 minutes you look at the watch. That shows our nature. It's everybody that's like that. If you get bored, you will start looking at the watch when it's going to finish. But if you are enjoying it, if you are, then anandam is coming from this Bhagavad Gita, then you won't know how time has gone away. So even if you don't have a watch, you will look this side, that side. So in the deep sleep state, you never know about the time, isn't it? You never know about the time. all you know is continuous happiness. Continuous happiness. That's called anandam. So, and that is called akhandam. Akhandam means unbroken. It's unbroken. You will see that in the deep sleep state, when you are in deep sleep, you don't experience any kind of interruptions there, isn't it? A steady deep sleep you get, unless somebody comes and disturbs you from there. And then what happens? You want to go back to that straight away, unless it is something so important. You don't want to leave that, what you had it at that time. And you're not getting bored there either. So you can see here one interesting thing. It is this deep sleep state is the only thing what you never got bored with. Every day you go into it and you never say, I'm bored with the deep sleep. Has anybody said that I'm bored with deep sleep anytime? Never once. Everything else you can see here, after a while you get bored, isn't it? But how long have you been sleeping now? I've been sleeping 65 years maybe. You'll be sleeping 40 years. But today also, if somebody asks me, if you give me a nice bed to sleep, I'll go to sleep. Why? I'm not bored about that. Never gets bored about that. Everything else, you get bored. Suppose I have to chant 64 rounds, I'll get bored after a while. If you tell me to read Srimad Bhagavatam, I will get bored after a while. I don't know, oh, it's taking too much. Or something. But if you tell me to sleep, I don't get bored. I don't get bored. Don't look at sleep in other way, in the wrong way. Look at the sleep in the way the Upanishads are telling us to look at. It says to us that only for the sleep you are not getting bored. Bhagavatam I am getting bored. And chanting the holy name I am getting bored. But not this. So anything, whatever, it doesn't matter, whatever it may be, however interesting may be, even reading a book, even that, after two or three times you have read it, you threw it away. You said you had enough of that. On the other hand, even after sleeping for 8 or 10 hours a day, I'm not bored about it. I'm not bored about that. And I've been doing that every night for the whole life. One day, when it gets broken, I get very concerned about that. Is it not? So, just like when you go somewhere, travel somewhere, and you spend some time there, and your sleeping pattern was not according to your taste or your comforts or convenience wasn't there, or as we say nowadays, jet lag and all that. What it is that you couldn't sleep, basically. That's what it is. You didn't get that sleep. That's why what you're disturbed about. If you had a good sleep, you don't complain about all the other things. Is it not? Just see how important that is, that deep sleep state. That's what Krishna is saying here. That so even if you get bored, the solution is deep sleep. The solution is deep sleep. What is the reason? Because it is only in the deep sleep that the mind goes. And when the mind goes, time goes with that. See, all they are interconnected. Mind and the time are very closely linked. If ever you are getting disturbed by anything in this life, during your different vyavaharam in this world, transactions in this world, you'll notice that the time and the mind are doing this game within inside. Once they've gone, it has nothing to do with you. It has come and it will go. Everything is like that. Once the time is gone, you will stay in your spiritual identity. This is how it is. You will stay in your spiritual identity as the soul, not as the body. Once the time comes, you will stay in your bodily identity. So when self-realization happens, with that time goes. Time doesn't have any impact anymore. Time isn't an impact anymore. Even our programs for spiritual life, for example, in the temple we have Mangalarati at 4:30, and Guru Puja at 7 o'clock, all these things, that is only for the Vyavaharam pattern. It is created like that. But purely from a spiritual point of view, if you take it, that has no significance. This time-bound worship. No. Time-bound worship is because you are on the bodily identity, therefore you need it. Once you have moved on to spiritual platform, there is no time recommended for spiritual life. All the time is spiritual life. 24 hours, it's spiritual life. When you are having a situation where you have a body, identification with the body, comforts of the body, unable to free yourself from the body, then you need all this. 4:30 Mangalarati and 7 o'clock Guru Puja and all other programs, whatever they have set it up. That's because of the body,
needs the body, because body is like that. You are based, controlled by the time and controlled by the mind. So, as soon as you move into the Swarupam, Swarupam means spiritual identity, Atma, at that time has no value, mind has no, there is no mind, there is no time either at that time. So, sometimes people say, when I am alone, I am getting bored, they say. They want a company, isn't it? So, so here, why is that when you are alone, you are getting bored? To ask that question, isn't it? Because that itself proves that I myself is the biggest bore. When, is it not? That when you are alone, we go immediately looking for somebody else to talk to. Or if nothing, nobody is there, then take the phone and ring everybody, whoever you have the numbers with. Start ringing. And even if without any much to say, you still want to talk to somebody. Why is that? Because we are not situated in our own identity as in the self, therefore we become bored with ourselves. We become bored with ourselves. So, so I am staying with me. In other words, I am in my spiritual identity. I am getting bored. That is not right. That should not happen. If because I am not situated within me, I am not in my proper identity. I am in the bodily identity. Therefore, I am getting bored with the time. So, in other words, what it means is when you are sitting there separately from the self, that means on the platform of the ego. That is what that state is. Platform of the ego is a very subtle thing. It's very difficult to. You don't have to do anything. Completely, it's a movement of the mind inside that decides about the ego. Everybody, it's the same thing. The ego operates. And you feel, as soon as the ego's movement is there, then you are feeling the boredom. So, when there is no chittavritti, there is no thought waves inside, you won't get bored. It is when the chittavritti happens inside, you are getting bored with it. So, so that is why, of course, this is the age which where you find the people most disturbed, is it not? Because you can see that. Everybody has got connected something here and something here. And they are walking around talking. And you don't know whom they are talking to. They are talking to somebody, isn't it? So, and or otherwise, they are not talking. They are connected with some, what's that, iPod or whatever. And then they're hearing some music. Because if they do not create that disturbance inside, they will not feel. They feel a kind of insecurity inside. They want that disturbance continuously going on. They create that disturbance and then they create problem in their nervous system in that way. Imagine 50 years ago when we didn't have any of these things. People were living in this world. How did they live? So all these things you can see, entertainment, all these gadgets, everything, is to create an artificial disturbance inside so that we are frightened of about our own mind and the boredom, and to escape from that we are taking shelter of all these things, isn't it? So that way you can say that the society is a mad society, what it is now, today what we are seeing, because they find it very difficult to stay alone and find it very difficult to stay quiet, and at the same time they are unable to conduct their business in a peaceful state because of that. What the reason mainly for that is ego has become more important than the self. The ego has become more important than the self. So when the ego becomes important, when we say ego, it means time has become a factor. As soon as the ego has become a factor, ego means there is mind working there. That's why the ego is operating. And time is a factor that's created along with that, and it also creates birth, appearance or birth. Everything comes from that ego. Time comes from the mind, and this thing called birth also comes from the ego. It comes from the ego. Not only birth, also death. Everything it brings in the front. The moment we have woken up to our Swarupam, spiritual identity, and at that time,
you can see that this awareness of our ego or existence of the ego, and that has no meaning. It has no existence, and your pure identity is something which has neither birth nor death. Neither birth nor death. And that vastu, that thing, will shine inside your consciousness. Inside the consciousness. That is what Krishna is saying here, ajam anadim cha. If we don't understand these two words, all these verses have no meaning. We are just reading it, just for the sake. Yomam ajam anadim cha. Importance of those two words, ajam and anadim. Anadim, ajam and anadim. So, you will notice another thing here. Krishna is a less heavy on us. So what he has said was, he said, those who are ajam anadim cha veti loka maheshwaram, they are asammudha, he says. They are asammudha. Krishna's word is asammudha. Saying like, instead of directly calling us mudha, he put it in a very polished way. He says to him, saying that Krishna escaped without hurting us too much. Acharya Swamiji called us directly mudha. He called us directly mudha. We are just bhajagovindam, bhajagovindam, govindam, bhaja, mudha madhe, he says. Mudha madhe means one who is a big mudha. Big mudha. You know the word mudha? Mudha is a very interesting word. Isn't it? Nobody likes it when we call somebody as mudha. But they are not calling us with any, what do they call, any kind of... Malice. Without calling it with malice, seeing our ignorance in us, they are trying to wake us up to the reality. Because this ajam anadim cha is the truth. Not time and mind and all, creation and space and all that. They are not reality. In true sense, what matters is self, the soul, which has no time, which has no space, which has no mind, and that is ajam anadim. And so long as we don't come to that state, we are mudha. It is in that sense he is saying here that such a person, Krishna is saying here, you still look at that verse, asam mudha samarteshu sarva bhavai pramuchyate. He says, asam mudha samarteshu sarva bhavai pramuchyate. One who has come to that state, he is free from all kinds of sins. Sin means here is actually distress. The direct effect of sin is distress, isn't it? If you come sin with sinful life, distress will come from that. So therefore, he says, after effect of action, that is what is called sin. After effect of the action. And so sin means nothing else. Because Krishna has said pabam, you don't have to get frightened about that. Because this principle is very simple. If you have engaged in pious activities, it will give you happiness. If you have engaged in sinful activities, it will give you distress. This is the general principle behind it. And both of these things, pious activity and the sinful activity, it will stay in our nervous system and in the mind, and or any of the upadhi, it will stay. Upadhi means mind, body, intelligence, ego. These are all our upadhis. So all our activities, sinful activities or pious activity, the reaction of all that will stay in our upadhis. It will stay in our upadhis. And definitely at the right time, it will take its, it will come out in some form. It will come out. Nobody can do anything about it. So what you remember here is that all these things, what Krishna is talking about here, this is all happening with this package of this body, mind, intelligence, ego, and pious activity, sinful activity. All these things is tied down to one point within us, and that is that ego. So, when you have that ego, that is when pious activities are performed. So you have done a lot of pious activities and the results are coming. You need someone to experience that result, and that is that ego. Similarly, when sinful activities are performed and the results are coming, distress is coming, you need someone to experience that result, and that is the ego. Soul still is transcendental, has nothing to do with either this or that. But when people complain that I'm suffering this way, I'm suffering that way, or sometimes they say, I had a great time, I enjoyed this. It's all that movement of the ego inside. It's the ego who is reporting that. I had a good time, I had a bad time, I enjoyed this, I'm living well, I'm happy, or sometimes I'm miserable, I'm distressed. Who is saying all this? The ego is saying this. Nothing to do with the soul. So that is the ego. In the Shastram, the word they call it as Chijjada Granthi. Chijjada Granthi. That is how it is called. You'll see Hridaya Granthi. Few different words they use, but in reality it is one and the same thing. So, when a stage comes with surrender, bhakti, a stage comes that you completely surrender to Krishna, that Krishna is doing everything, I have nothing to do. Only in that state, this ego will go away from inside. Otherwise, ego won't disappear. Till the point of surrender, that is why Krishna keeps repeating about bhakti. Bhakti, bhakti, Krishna says, isn't it? So, bhakti's nature is that the moment that surrender happens inside, that we ourselves become fully conscious or fully aware that everything is happening through the body. I am not the doer. Krishna is the doer. Krishna is doing everything. I have nothing to think about to take the credit for that or to feel distressed over it. If that state comes inside in your consciousness, then you can practically say that you are freedom from the ego. That's the only way to know about that. So that moment you get released from the influence of the time, influence of the mind, influence of the ego. That is what Krishna is saying. When you get released like that, that is what is mentioned there. Sarva bhavai pramuchyate. See how that happens? That's what it is. Krishna is saying here that yomam ajam anadimcha veti loka maheshwaram asammodasa martyeshu sarva bhavai pramuchyate. Very subtle words spoken in a very direct way. Krishna is saying to us, once you read that, he who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme lord of all the worlds, he, undeluded among men, is freed from all sins. Now if you see the direct translation, it won't make much of you won't get a clarity on that. But if you understand it this way, how that happens, what is ajam, what is anadim, what is asammodhatvam, and what is papam, sarvabhavai pramuchyade, then you will know what that means. Just like the way we spoke about it now. Papam, punyam, all these things are experienced by the ego. Sinful activity and pious activity, the results of both are experienced by the ego. What Krishna is saying here, that once you have woken up to your spiritual identity, ajam anadimcha, then what will happen? Veti sarvaloka maheshwaram. That spiritual nature of every one of us, that is our true nature. But because of bodily, trapped in the body and the mind, we are suffering here. What is the trap in the body and the mind? Bodily identity. Due to that, we have the problem of this, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And the problem with the mind is that apart from the kartrutva bhoktrutvam, it creates ragadvesham inside. And not only that, the mind is time is connected with the time. Mind is connected with the time. So time, mind, and doer, enjoyer, ragam, dvesham, all these things don't exist in me. None of them is existing in me. It all exists in the body and the mind. You see? See how subtle the whole thing is? How careful we have to be to know that none of these things, whatever is going on in the body, in the mind, nothing touches me. That is what Krishna is saying. Wake up to the spiritual identity. There is no other way you can escape from this. You cannot correct this world, you cannot change this world. You have to wake up to the knowledge. That is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita many times, keep on repeating about knowledge. Isn't it? This is that knowledge he is saying, that jnanam, jnanam, jnanam is that thing, he says, that that one, if you remember, that that so, sarva bhavai pramuchyade, Krishna is saying, sarva bhavai pramuchyade. Once this ego goes away from inside, sarva bhavai pramuchyade. And when will the ego escapes, ego disappears? When the mind and the ego work together. Everything, it's the same, one and the same thing. When you wake up in the morning, first thing is the mind. And then the ego. Or both appears more or less the same time, isn't it? Mind and the ego, they appear at the same time. Mind brings you time conscious straight away. And ego also brings you to the activities, karmam. The effect of impact of karmam is experienced in the ego, not in the self. Self is not experiencing anything. All the impact of all your activities is experienced in the ego. Experienced in the ego. So, so Krishna is saying here, sometimes you can see that when you commit some heavy crime, the court has given you some severe punishment, either to be hung or to be a long-term imprisonment or something. And finally, if you're going to be hung, all the court has rejected all your appeal, you can't do anything about it, then they give you a final chance that you can apply for the, what do they call it, the, for the mercy of the... What do they call it for that
Some pardon.
You apply for that. And if that is the last thing. If he gives it, you get it. If he doesn't say, if he says no, then that's it. Finished. In every country it's there like that, isn't it? When you commit big severe crimes like that. So similarly you can see here, that is the normal way, that's the president or prime minister or the queen or somebody like that, isn't it? But Krishna says, there is somebody like that inside you. That is the Antaryami. If you completely hand over everything to the Antaryami inside, then all this, your sinful activities, pious activities, all your accounts is written off with that. But you have to do that. That's the problem. That, you know, this sinful activity, pious activity, we get frightened about it a lot, isn't it? Especially if you read the fifth canto. Bhagavatam. Oh, it's too pretty heavy it is, isn't it? They say 99,000 years or 99, some thousands, million years, you'll be boiled in the hot oil which is burning, and big dogs will come and bite you and rip you off into pieces, and all sorts of things mentioned there. We don't have to get frightened about that. Why? Because Krishna is also saying here that Antaryami inside, if you have completely understood and realized it inside, they don't apply anymore. It cannot bother you anymore after that. Because this sinful activity, pious activity, is not a thing that's all based on the body. It's not based on the consciousness. So he says here that as soon as Antaryami, if you surrender to Antaryami, that is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Tameva Sharanam Gacchas Sarva Bhavena Bharada Yal Prasadar Param Shantim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwadam. At the end of the 18th chapter, Krishna says there, isn't it? Surrender there. Ishara Sarva Bhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Who is situated within yourself, who is situated there? Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani Yantrara Uthani Maya. So all these discussions, because it is related to Antaryami, Krishna is speaking as Ishvara here. You see? You saw in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Krishna gives stress on that aspect, Antaryami aspect, gives importance to it. Hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. Hriddeshe means Antaryami. Brahmayan sarva bhudani yantrarudhani maya. All living entities are thrown onto this wheel of time, of karma and pious activity, sinful activity, pious results, sinful results. So happiness, distress, all these things, Yantrarudhani Maya, under the control of Maya, is happening. Maya is doing this. And moment you, therefore, Krishna says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Therefore, there's only one way to free yourself. Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bhara. There surrender. Where? Andaryami. There surrender, Krishna says. Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. El Prasadal Param Shantim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashvatam. By that, you will escape from this cycle. There is no other way to free yourself from that. So, this is why this Andaryami principle is so important in the Upanishads. Vedantam stands above every other thing. For example, you can see here that we have various conceptions about religion, isn't it? Various conceptions about religion. Different religious groups in this world, they will say, my God is the real one or the first one. Or somebody else will say, somebody else's God is the first one. This is not going to come to an end. This will continue forever. It's not possible. It is to argue this and prove to someone that my God is the first one and yours is the next one, or yours is the first one, mine is the next one. This argument will never come to an end. Therefore, Upanishads, rishis knowing this very well, they did not want to create this confusion in us by saying, with of attached to a form, to give this proof to us. Instead, what they said to us, that Andaryami inside is in everyone all the time. It is only due to the presence of Andaryami, as Krishna is Andaryami, we call address as Krishna. Andaryami, we are addressing as Krishna. Somebody else may address him in another name, but Andaryami doesn't change. That force within me, within you, within everyone is one and the same. But you may address that in different ways. So once you accept this Andaryami principle, Andaryami's importance, you can see that problem goes away. That doesn't exist anymore. Because Andaryami is the one what exists. That is the only proof we have about God today. When you go to the spiritual world and if you see another form and another God or whomever you address to or whichever whom you think about God in another way, because everybody in this world have a different form of God in their perception, is it not? We address Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some among the Vaishnavas themselves, there is Vishnu is addressed as the Supreme Truth. Narayana is addressed as Supreme Truth, is it not? So many devotees, they worship as Narayana form. They worship as Vishnu form. And there are many others who worship Shiva form as the Supreme Truth. Equally, like other religions also, they have their own forms whom they accept and worship. But when all these forms come into it, we always have this difficulty that which form is the original form? Or from whom is the source, first source? This difficulty will come. It cannot be proved. It has to be done only based on the Shastra. But this one, concept of Andaryami, is not subject to anything like that. It is right now, anyone can accept it. Because why? Everybody has the Andaryami. No one is without an Andaryami, he won't be existing there. That is why in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, if you remember, we mentioned this many times before also. Brihadaranyaka says here that Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Kashta Nidhyan Tishtan Amrdaha, that earth is there, earth is his gross body, he is present in the earth and he is experiencing as earth everything spiritual, everything spiritual. Similarly in the water, similarly in the fire, similarly in the ether, similarly in the air, in everything, mind, intelligence, in everything, what is present, all the presence of all these different entities is due to the presence of Andaryami. Due to the presence of Andaryami. When we discuss these different philosophical changes between the different acharyas, there you will notice where the differences are coming from, how they are observing this. One, Advaitam goes after the Upanishads. In the Purani concept, where we are taking the personality very seriously, at that time, there will see this variations coming from one acharya to another. We'll discuss it in a different way. So, Krishna, the Brihadaranyaka says like this, that who stays within the earth, and but earth does not know him. Antaryami is in the mother earth also, but earth does not know him. Earth does not know him. But present within the earth, he is rotating this earth. Earth is moving because of his presence, just like we are moving because of his presence, isn't it? Because of Krishna's presence as Antaryami inside, we are moving. Remember, last time also we discussed this. Situated within this body, he keeps this body going. Makes us to, it creates a desire inside to hunger. Hunger comes. Then we have to eat. Who creates the hunger? Antaryami creates the hunger. Therefore, he is called Vaishvanara. He creates that fire inside, Vaishvanara. Situated within us, he created the, he keeps the breathing system going. Situated within us, he keeps the blood circulation and other system functioning. Everything within this body, he is looking after that, situated within that. So Krishna's question is, I am doing everything within you. Only when it comes to karmam, you want to be the ownership. You want to take the ownership. Krishna says, that doesn't look very right, is it? Krishna is asking us in a very polite way. Everything else Krishna is doing inside. But when it comes to karmam, we say, oh no, no, I have done it. It's me. I've done it, we say. So why this? That is Krishna's question, isn't it? So Upanishad is saying here that Antaryami inside, who is present in every one of us as awareness, from that awareness, a power starts, a power begins. And it is that power which comes as mind, which comes as intelligence, which comes as the body, and in so many other ways. Science, modern science, segregate that into different departments, isn't it? But that Shakti, that power or energy, whatever we call it, that comes from that Antaryami is one. But then it comes in different forms. It comes as mind, it comes as intelligence. That same Shakti, same power, transforms into different forms. In the form of power, it comes in the form of intelligence, where it discriminates. In the form of mind, it comes sangalpam, vigalpam, it comes like that. In the form of ego, it comes, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, like that. And in the form of this gross body, to enjoy the senses and sense objects. So the power that originated from that source is one power. But that has transformed itself in various forms, as intelligence, as ego, as mind, as body, as senses, like that. So, now what the science has gone and done is that science has gone and made it separate everything. Specialist departments, they call it. Isn't it? In medicine, you can see this. If you look very carefully, you will see that everything is a department now they have. For the brain, there is one department. Then the heart, there is cardiologist or something, they call it, isn't it? There's one specialist for the liver, specialist for the kidney, specialist for the stomach, gastroenteritis, all kinds of things, skin, and like that, they have broken up everything in the body into different departments. And they're also saying there, and that specialization is in every department now, isn't it? So, but what is the source of all these things? With these different departments you have come through. That's the only one question, what is there. You are saying here that the source from where the body, the senses, the mind, the kidney, heart, liver, all these things combined together, you are calling yourself as I am. Is it not? It is that I am which has broken up into all this. Which one? The body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the ego, the heart, the kidney, body, you are again broken up into so many different entities, isn't it? So all these things put together, you are calling it as aham. And that aham is coming from that awareness. Very simple. That awareness inside, which is conscious in the consciousness of my existence, It is from there all these things have come. So, you can see here, if you look at it, that outside if you look, everything is coming from one source. Just like the whole tree, when it comes out, a huge banyan tree, everything was there in one seed, it was whole thing has come out, isn't it? That means the whole tree was within that small seed, a huge banyan tree. And that thing, that one cell in that seed, that grown up and came out in the form of this huge banyan tree. And that is why in the Bhagavadam you will see, when Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti, Shuklam Shonita Rupam. That is, Shuklam means the semen, Shonitam is the blood. The blood and the semen, when they combine together, from there the origin begins. So, and where did they come from? They came from the mind of the man and the woman. From the man and the woman. And Vedam says, when they combine together, Jiva, life entered into it. That is how it happens. Even the modern science, which if you look at the medicine, particularly the amount of magazines and the amount of knowledge what they have created centered around this body, it's unbelievable. The amount of articles and papers presented every year and the amount of magazines that's printed all over the world, everybody is doing research into the body, research into the body. And they come up with all kinds of different conclusions about it. And but one thing what is important here is that this thing called I am, in their way, if you look at it, they'll say, who is this I am you're talking about? They'll say, you are this body, which is combined with all these things, isn't it? Mind, intelligence, ego, senses, and all the different parts of the body, everything together. But if you look back into the origin of that, before we are come out of the womb of the mother, inside the womb, Kapila Maharshi says to us that Shuklam and Shonita Rupam, that Shuklam is blood and the and the semen together, when they combine, at some particular point, the Jiva enters into it, which is the soul. Soul enters into it. And where did they come from? They came from the mind. Shuklam and Shonitam, they came from the mind. It's from the mind that transformation has happened. And Jiva entered into it. So, there is a center for all these things. And inside us, it is present, that center is presenting in front of us in the form of intelligence, in the form of knowledge, in the form of the heart, in form of love, in the form of nervous system, in the form of digestive system, and in the form of body. All these are changes that has happened from that source, where originally it has started from the source. The changes kept on, transformation happened continuously, and all these things came out from that source. So, all these things has a source, in other words. Science also agrees that the body has come, they also don't know where that, they think that there is a source for that, isn't it? They also think that there is a source from there it's coming. So, what happened was, unfortunately for them, because there is no concept of the soul, Atma inside, they started calling it as God particle. This God particle came out. Remember? And that's what they are looking for. They are not able to accept this, that this awareness is the root through which Vedam takes us. Vedas are telling us that is the only thing what you have got today. And that is very tangible proof to us, isn't it? That when you study your own awareness, you can see that awareness is present in all the three states, Jagrat, Supam, Sushupti, and it is awareness that is all the time with you. Even when the body goes away, you are conscious of your awareness, that you are going somewhere, not the body. So, after discarding everything, mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, if you what that exists, that's you. That's you, isn't it? Jayadatya Shesham. Yesterday we talked about that in the prayers of Gajendra, isn't it? Gajendra was mentioned that in the prayers we saw that before. That Jayadatya Shesha Siddhi, he said. Jayadatya Shesham. Jayadatya Shesham. So here in the it was in the eighth canto. Then after Nashandaha, he says it's not man, it's not woman. So many identities he mentioned there. Jaida Dashesha Siddhi. After leaving everything, what is remaining? That's you. That's you. And what is that? That is that awareness. That awareness is completely independent of everything else. And it is from that awareness everything else has come. That is what Krishna is saying here. So this is how this God particle came about. Because they started realizing that there is a center somewhere. From there, everything else is coming. Something has come as in the form of intelligence. Something has come in the form of knowledge. Something has come in the form of heart, emotions, like love, hate, fear and everything. And something what they call as a nervous system, which also they are not fully able to explain that. And then there is the digestive system and the body, whole body. It has turned in all these different forms. So there must be a vastu who is the source of all this, whom they address as God particle and which they are inquiring after. No. So actually each and every cell in our body is made of a God particle. Each and every cell in our body is made of God particle, because in this consciousness is spread throughout the body. Everywhere it is spread, and in every cell it is present. That is why in the Bhagavatam, in Puranam, when they present it, they present it in a different way. Have you seen when Hiranyakashipu went to, after Hiranyakashipu was had the problem with Prahlada, he says, "Where is your Vishnu? Where is Vishnu?" he says. And then he goes looking for Vishnu. And it says in the Bhagavatam that he has gone even to Vaikuntham looking for Vishnu. It's very interesting, isn't it? He has fallen down from Vaikuntham, Jaya and Vijaya, and they became Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. But when he started inquiring about Hiranyakashipu, says, he went to Vaikuntham looking for him and he couldn't find him there. It is in the Bhagavatam. And that puts people thinking, what's this? Something spoken before, have they completely opposite here? We have to understand it properly, what the rishis are telling us. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to us that this looking for God, when he went there to Vaikuntham, he says, I couldn't find him there. He couldn't find him there. Where? In Vaikuntham. Krishna says, I escaped from there. What I did was, when he came looking for me there, I got inside him. That's how she said, Mahavishnu says, Vishnu says about this. When he came looking for me, I knew that he will come looking for me there in Vaikuntham. So what I did was, I got inside him. So he knows he won't look for me there. In other words, he's making fun of us. That you won't look for Krishna inside, you won't look for Krishna everywhere else in the world. This is what it is means. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will find these verses. You can take your own time and read it through. When it's a very interesting thing. Hiranyakashipu is saying that when he had a problem with Prahlada, that he's asking, who is Vishnu? And Prahlada says, Vishnu is everywhere. Hiranyakashipu says, I've looked for him everywhere. I looked for him in all the planetary systems, because all planetary systems were under his control. Then he says, I even gone to Vaikuntham and he's not there, he says. So where is he? He's asking that question in the Bhagavatam. So Vishnu is saying that this is when Vamanamurti talks to Mahabali, he says this in reference to Hiranyakashipu. He says, what happened was that when I knew that he was coming looking for me, I got inside him and then he couldn't find me. He knew that he won't search for me there. Krishna says, I knew that he won't look for me there inside. So that's exactly what's happening with us also. We won't look for him inside. We will look for him in all the holy places, all the Himalayas, everywhere. You will search for him, but you won't find him. And then he'll say, oh, he doesn't exist because I couldn't find him. And that's what he's saying here. So similarly, so in the same way, Hiranyakashipu inquired in the Vaikuntham, looking for Krishna. The scientists are looking for the God particle. They won't find him. How will they find him? Because he is sitting inside their heart and they are looking in the tunnel. How can they find him? This is the same problem. This is why when you study Bhagavatam, You can see the same thing is repeated again and again and again. We are committing the same blunder. Rishis are telling us, the place where you should look for is here. Bhagavad Gita is telling us, look for him here. Upanishads are telling us, look for him here. So, and biggest demon, Hiranyakashipu, so powerful he was. He went looking for him in the higher planets everywhere he walked around. Where is Vishnu? Where is Vishnu? No sign of Vishnu. Lower planets he inquired everywhere, no sign of Vishnu. Goes to Vaikuntham, Kailasam and all other places looking for Vishnu, no sign of Vishnu. Vishnu says, when I knew that he was coming, I got inside him and stayed there. Because I knew he won't look for me there. I found it's a safe hiding place. So he went and stayed there. So similarly, just like Hiranyakashipu was looking for Vishnu everywhere, the scientists are also thinking that they'll find him somewhere in the laboratory or in the tunnel or in what they have built, something like 20 kilometers or something, they have built that huge tunnel between the Swiss Alps, drilling through it. Millions of pounds they have spent drilling that, looking for Vishnu there. But they want the God particle. But problem is that God particle is inside them, those who are doing this. This is the problem. So here, so each and every cell is a God particle and he is not everywhere. So one who knows what Krishna is, what God is, for him the every cell in the body is a God particle. But one who does not know, he doesn't exist anywhere. He doesn't exist anywhere. So if you give name to anything as a God particle, it won't become God particle. That's a mistake they are doing, isn't it? They are thinking God particle is like another electron, proton, neutron, boson or whatever the new things are they are saying. It's another particle like that. That's what they are thinking. If you just by giving a name to some particle, it won't become God. This is the foolishness of the whole thing. What can you do? So Krishna is saying here, certain things that mula vastu, or in other words, that source, Krishna says, that is actually awareness, not a particle, like a God particle. It's not a particle, like the God particle, but it is a awareness. It is a awareness. So those things which are connected with that awareness, those things, Krishna is picking up a few of them and going to talk about this in the next few verses. You will see there. See how the blunder, what we are making, that when you start seeing everything through matter, you come to start thinking that matter is the answer to all your problems. You want, just like I mentioned about, if you want to know about creation, first you have to know time and space. If you have found out time and space, you can talk about creation. Similarly, this God particle also, there is a source inside from where everything has come about in the form of body, the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, and the nervous system, and which comes as love, hate, all sorts of emotions inside, and the gross body also. That one source which has come about and changed like this. Instead of taking into that, finding out that source where it's coming from, all these things, we are searching outside somewhere. There is a particle which will give us the answer to all our questions and which will never happen. And that is what is ridiculed in the Bhagavatam by saying this Hiranyakashipu story. If we have to understand about Hiranyakashipu, these are the things we have to understand, not the other things. Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlada from the hills and mountains and bitten by the very heavy snakes and nothing happened to Prahlada. And those who are in the bodily identity, what will they say? They'll say, oh, Prahlada body, that must be far out body. It isn't it. They'll think like that. Children, if you tell them like that. But that's not how you understand Bhagavatam. What Krishna is saying, when Hiranyakashipu is saying, so look at this way, Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlada, where do you get all this strength? What is Prahlada's reply? The same source where you get your strength, I am also getting from the same. Then in other words, the source is the one source. It comes through Hiranyakashipu in a demoniac way. It comes through Prahlada in a devotee way. That's all it is. So the power is the same. Balam me Vaikuntha. In the Bhagavatam you can read that. That balam power is coming from the same source. Krishna gives the same power to Hiranyakashipu to talk like this, and he gives all the power to Prahlada to get protected from Hiranyakashipu's troubles. So you can see Prahlada was not disturbed.
So when Hiranyakashipu says, I don't see him anywhere, where is your Vishnu, he says. Prahlada says, I see him everywhere. He is everywhere. Hiranyakashipu says, I don't see him anywhere. Then Hiranyakashipu gets so angry with him and says to him, is he in the pillar? Prahlada says, I see him there also in the pillar. As soon as he pulled out the wall, Narasimhamurti had to come out from inside. He had no choice. He was waiting there. Just like in the drama, people get dressed and stay behind the scene for their time to come to the stage. They stay behind, isn't it, fully dressed up, ready to start their action. Similarly, Narasimhamurti was inside that pillar, and the pillar broke up, Narasimhamurti comes out from inside. That is the power of the soul. So there, Prahlada's words were kept true. It is in the Bhagavatam, if you read, you will see there. So those things, that Moolavastu means the basic source, awareness, that is where everything coming from, Antaryami. And some of the things which we know, which is related to that Vastu inside, that is Krishna is going to talk about it, and very amazing things Krishna is going to say here. So temporarily what we have to do is, we have to keep all our understanding of the temple, the deity, and the Shastram, all other books, all these things you have to keep it away. Because these things is based on the Antaryami, Krishna is saying here. So, only if you give attention to the self inside, you will understand these verses. If you start thinking always in terms of the deity, always in terms of the form that is worshipped in the temple, you won't understand it. Because all these things are related to the Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. So sometimes you can see here, only if you look inside you will know what you are. Somebody says that I've looked inside, but I realized that I'm just a ass, he said. That's what I understood, he said. So the Acharya said to him, this is in one of the important discussions. Acharya says to him, have you looked inside what you are? He says, I looked inside and I understood that I'm just an ass, he said. So the Acharya told him, at least you realized you're an ass. Till now you are thinking you're very intelligent, weren't you? He said to him. So that is what Krishna is going to list now, a lot of things in the next two verses, talking about certain things which we thought it's coming from somewhere else. That it's all mine, it's coming from me. Without knowing who I am, I'm making all these statements. So let us look at that two verses. Verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 and verse 5. Buddhir jnanam asammoha. Kshama satyam damashamaha. Sukham dukkham bhavo bhavo. Bhayam cha bhayam eva cha. Buddhir jnanam asammoha. Kshama satyam damashamaha. Sukham dukkham bhavo bhavo. Bhayam cha bhayam eva cha. Ahimsa samata tushti. Tapodanam yasho yashaha. Bhavandi bhava bhudhanam matta eva pradak vidhaha ahimsa samata tushti tapodanam yasho yashaha bhavandi bhava bhudhanam matta eva pradak vidhaha. Very, very interesting. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt, delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, self-control, calmness, pleasure and pain, birth and death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy are created by me alone. In other words, it is by the Antaryami inside. Antaryami is doing this. Whenever any of these things, if you recognize anywhere, Krishna says, take it that it's coming from me, from Krishna inside. Inside us,
who is present as Antaryami. It's from him everything is coming. Whereas what do we say? Oh, I'm so intelligent, isn't it? But I don't know who I am, but I'm so intelligent. I'm so intelligent, but I don't know who I am. That's the first thing. Knowledge, freedom from doubt, and so many things Krishna has spoken there. And that is why these verses in this 10th chapter, especially, there are four verses which we will be discussing in detail because they are the key verses here. We start from the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. So that will come to that. But prior to that, in these two verses, Krishna says these things, isn't it? So let's look at that. So in the first verse, a few qualities Krishna has taken up, very special ones. He is talking about that. Buddhi, jnanam, asammoham. Kshama, satyam, damam, shamam. Sukham, dukham, bhavam, abhavam. Bhayam, cha, abhayam, eva, cha. Ahimsa, samata, tushti. Tapasya, danam, yashasya, ayashasya. Yashasya means fame. Ayashasya means in what is it called? Bad reputation, or what do they call it? Bad, what you say? You know, you get a bad name. That's called ayashasya. Opposite to yashasya. Then, bhavanti bhava bhudhanam matta eva pratagvidaha. Krishna says. So, here, Krishna is saying, each one of them, let's look at that. How Vedantam says about this. Buddhi, well, first thing is buddhi, isn't it? What is buddhi means? Buddhi, definition of buddhi. Andhakaranasya sushma arthava bhodhanam samarthyam tavandam tadvandam buddhiman idhi vadandi. First thing. Buddhi means andhakaranasya sushma artha avabhodhana samarthyam. That means when something is spoken, the sushma artham, the subtle aspect of that, if one is able to pick up that, sushma artha avabhodhana samarthyam, that is called buddhi. It is not the buddhi which we say that we use for our solving equations or some developing new engineering product. This is not considered to be buddhi. Buddhi in Shastram is this. Sushma artha andhakaranasya sushma artham avabhodana samarthyam. That's the word. That comes from chitta shuddhi. That buddhi becomes finer, finer, finer. Purified intelligence. That's what it's called. That when you become very sushmam inside, very subtle inside, that sushma artha avabhodana samarthyam. As soon as it's spoken, Shastram says so many things. Able to capture it straight away without any difficulty, that is called buddhi. And this is this buddhi, that's what Krishna says, I give them dadami buddhi yogandam yenama upayandide. That's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. I give them the intelligence, whatever that is lacking in them, to come back to me. There's a statement like that, isn't it? So sometimes people think that, oh, this is some special kind of artificial intelligence or something Krishna is going to create within us. Because our intelligence is always related to technology, isn't it? So we start thinking that there is some new kind of intelligence Krishna is going to create. No, what happens is this almam andhakaranasya sushma artham avabhodana samarthyam. Sushma artham, everything has got a stulam and sushmam, gross and the subtle side. Gross side everybody understands, but the subtle side many times people don't understand. They don't get it. They get a long time to get it, isn't it? So, that sushma artha avabhodana samarthyam of the andhakaranam is called the buddhi. Andhakaranam means the subtle body inside. In that andhakaranam, when the buddhi has this very special capacity, when something is spoken, able to connect to it properly and able to get that understanding right inside, that is sushma artha avabhodana, that capacity, samarthyam, is called buddhi. So such a person who has got that is buddhiman, he says, is intelligence person. Then what is jnanam? Next one is buddhi jnanam, isn't it? Jnanam is almadi padarthanam avabhodaha. That is jnanam. Jnana means Atmadi Padarthanam Avabhodaha. That means that proper knowledge is in a person, he'll be always aware of the presence of the soul. Everything related to the soul. Atmadi padarthanam avabhudaha. In other words, if you are always, your awareness is centered around matter, you are in avidya, ajnanam, ignorance. But if you are always your awareness, that means it will come in your own outlook in life, in your dealings with the world, dealings with everything, consciousness of the awareness inside and the subtlety of the soul inside. And that knowledge if one person has, that is why jnanam atmadi padarthanam avabhodam. Atmadi padarthanam avabhodam. If the avabhodam, awareness of the soul and matters related to the soul, if that is present, then that person has got jnanam inside, knowledge inside. Otherwise he is ignorant. Otherwise he is ignorant. Remember, normally sometimes we say, in our understanding, we say he's a good person, he's a bad person, isn't it? But a good person and a bad person can both be ajnanis. Shastram says there's only two kinds of people, jnani and ajnani. One who is in knowledge, one who is in ignorance. There is no good person, bad person in the Shastram. Shastram gives importance to this. A good person and a bad person can be ignorant. Both can be ignorant. But a jnani is person in knowledge. A jnani is the one who is in ignorance. So that is Atma. That is, Krishna says, jnanam. Buddhir, jnani, two things. Then next one, asammoham. We'll go one after the other, everything. And then let's try to understand this. Asammoha pratyutpanneshu bodhavyeshu viveka purviga pravrtihi. That is what is called asamoham. Asamoham means pratyulpanyeshu bodhavyeshu viveka purviga pravrti, which means that in all situations, able to act with vivekam, with discrimination, able to analyze the situation properly and to act with proper discrimination. That is called asamoham. Asamoham. Sometimes you'll see people, they hear something and then they just jump up and down and start doing something to sort out the problems. They get quickly react to it without thinking about it. And sometimes, because you have to always remember that we are in the battlefield of Maya. So many things can happen here. Everything may not be according to our liking. So many things will happen which will be to your disliking. You may not like it, it will happen. But even in such situations, able to scrutinize it properly and not to overreact to situations and deal with it in a calm manner, that is called asamoham. That means that freedom from that illusion inside. Asamoha pratyutpanneshu bhotavyeshu viveka purvika pravrtihi. With vivekam, with discrimination, able to react to situations like that. Because it is necessary. Nobody's life is here a easy journey here, isn't it? A lot of knocks will come from all sides in different ways. From family members, from the society, from the friends, from the government. Everybody will give you some knock at some time or the other. In one way or the other, it will come. And when it comes also, not to overreact to it, and knowing very well that this is the nature of the material world, and not react to that situation without any discrimination, in other words. That is what it is called, this asamoham. That means he has got freedom from moham. Freedom from moham. Moham means illusion. So, asamoha pratyutpanneshu bodhavyeshu viveka purvika pravrti, he says. The next one, kshama. Kshama, akrushtasya tadidasyava avigrita chittada. That's pretty heavy. Kshama, akrushtasya tadidasyava avigrita chittada. That means somebody yells at you or gives you bad mouth about you or gets very heavy with you, and even if he beats you physically, still able to tolerate that, not getting violent or getting very affected by that, and that is called kshama. That is what he calls kshama. Then satyam, next one. Yadha drishtasya yadha shrutasya ja atmanubhavasya parabuddhi samkrandaye tadha eva uchariyamana vak satyam uchyate. The satyam is a very confusing thing, isn't it? People always have difficulty with satyam. Should I speak or should I not speak the satyam? Some people say you should only speak satyam if it is palatable to others. If it's not palatable, you should not speak. They say like that. So what they do, that if you speak sometimes satyam, they don't like it, and then they will say, give another twist to that, saying that you are committing a big offense, or you are committing a Vaishnava aparadha, and this, that, and the other, they'll say like that. But Krishna doesn't agree with that. I don't know who developed this shastram, that, that you shouldn't speak the truth. Krishna doesn't agree with that. Krishna is saying here very clearly that satyam yadha drishtasya yadha shrutasya cha. What you have seen with your eyes, what you have heard directly, and atmanubhavasya, and that you have experienced directly yourself, parabuddhi samkranthaye tatha eva uchariyamanam vak satyam uchade. Reporting that as you have seen, as you have heard directly, without adulterating with any other things, as it is, if you present it, that is the truth. See, it's the truth. That is the truth. So, whatever you have seen, whatever you have heard, and whatever you have experienced, if you speak about that directly as it is to others, that is truthfulness. See what Prabhupada mentions that? He also says the same thing there. If you look into the purport, you will see in the satyam, the truth, that is in the third paragraph in the purport. You'll see satyam. Satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social convention, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others, but that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straight and forward way. Forward way. So that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief and people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts he presented as they are for the benefit of others, that is the definition of truth. So that is where problem comes, isn't it? When you start speaking the truth, many people won't like it. You'll get a lot of trouble from authorities, and others will say, why are you saying like this? Why are you causing problems? So this has been happening all the time. Then they don't like it. They don't want to be said about that. They get upset about that. So this is a difficulty in spiritual life, that the satyam yatha drishtasya yatha shrutasya cha atmanubhavasya parabuddhi samkrantaye tatha eva uchariyamanam vak satyam uchyate. So whatever truth is always truth. Even though in vyavaharam, these things are in the vyavaharam mostly, this problem comes. Even there, one should adhere to the truth. One should adhere to the truth. Then next one, dhammam. Dhammam means bahi indriyopashamam. That means, dhammam means all your senses, knowledge, senses of knowledge. And if you control them, able to keep them under control, that is called dhammam. Shamam andhakaranasya upashamam. In other words, if your mind and intelligence, if they are under control, that is called shamam. Shamam and dhammam. Dhammam is for the senses, shamam is for the mind and the intelligence. Then sukham. Next one. Ahladaha dukham sandhavaha bhavaha udbhavaha abhavaha tad vibhareha bhayam jatrasaha abhayam evaja tad vibharidam ahimsa apida praninam samata samachitadaha. So here, again, ahimsa is that not giving any kind of pain to others. Any kind of pain to others. Ahimsa apida praninam. And whatever happens within the maya, within this world of maya, no matter what happens, not getting disturbed over it. Not getting disturbed over it and able to stay in a peaceful state, that is called samachitada, samatha. Krishna uses the word samatha, isn't it?
Sukham dukham mahobhavam bhayam chabhayam evacha ahimsa samatha. What does samatha mean? Samatha means this. Under all circumstances, never getting disturbed over anything. Because anything can happen in this world. Anything can happen in this world, isn't it? It's Maya. Maya will do whatever she likes. And what happens should not become an issue. Then sukham dukham. Sukham means ahladam. That means, as soon as you feel some happiness, you become rejoiceful about something. That is sukham. Dukham means feeling that distress inside, feeling that distance inside. Bhavam udbhavam abhavaham tad vibhayeyaha. So, bhavam means, what does bhavam mean? Bhavam, here you can see that sukham dukham bhavo abhavam, he says. Bhavam abhavam. Bhavam and abhavam. Bhavam means birth and abhavam is death. Abhavam is death. And bhayam, fear, abhayam, without fear. Fear and without fear. So, bhayam dukham, that means birth, death, fear, fearlessness. All these four things. Then, tushti, santushtihi, santoshaha, paryapta buddhi labheshu. That means whatever one gets in life, being satisfied with it and not feeling all the time a desire to have more. That is tushti in a person. Then, tapa indriya samyama purvagam sharira pedanam. Keeping all the senses under control, and to do that, whatever that is necessary, that is called tapas. That means, sometimes to keep the senses under control, you may have to control your diet. You may have to control your worldly activities, entertainment and things like that, to keep the senses under control. When you do that, that is called tapas. That is what the definition tapas means. In other words, that tapa indriya samyama purvagam sharira pidanam. That means, although sometimes it may appear as though it's giving some, what do they call it, austerity, isn't it, or penances. It may appear as though it is giving you some torture to the body. It may appear like that. But for the sake of sense control, just like in order to control your urge, sex drive inside, the yogis control their diet, isn't it? They control their diet. And the because from the food comes the mind, from the mind thought waves develops. So that way they know the connection with the food and the mind. So certain control on the diet in some kindness. Fasting, all these things are tapasya. Are tapasya. Ekadashi controlling, eating from grains, all these things are tapasya. So, dhanam yatha shakti samvibhagaha. Dhanam, charity means whatever one has got according to one's capacity, distributing to others. That is dhanam, charity. Yesho dharma nimitta kirtihi. By living in a dharmic way, in a spiritual way, your fame become, if you get fame, that is called yashas. Not by winning tournaments or becoming a celebrity. That is not yashas. Yashas means yesho dharma nimitta kirti. Because you are living in a dharmic way without creating any disturbances for others, and strictly adhering to dharmam, religious principles. And due to that, if you become famous, that is called yashas. Ayashaha adharma nimitta akirti. Just the opposite. That means, if you associate with people who are living in a religious way, exploitations, cheating and things like that, and there, what happens to them is ayashas. They acquire a bad name. And adharma nimittam, due to their adharmam, and that is called akirti, infamous. Then, bhavandi bhava yathokta buddhyadayo bhudanam praninam matta yave ishwarad pratagvidaha nanamidaha so karman rupena kimcha. So, all these things, what is mentioned here, Krishna is saying, all these bhavam, these are all different bhavam in the person. All of them according to his karmam. And according to the karmam, it will come from me, Krishna says. That Antaryami inside, he will release these different things according to your karma. That is how it comes. Not by your effort, you don't create anything. If you are living according to the injunctions, shastric injunctions, and living according to principles, then these qualities, Krishna says, he will release it from inside, as Antaryami. He will release it from inside. Just like a person is becoming yashasa. Yashasa comes to him because he follows this dharma nimirta kirtihi. And ayashasa adharma nimirta akirtihi. Both comes in the from him. Similarly, all other things also, what we have spoken so far. So here, buddhi. First of all, buddhi. Let's start with that. Rishis, the sages, they didn't call buddhi as brain, first thing. They never called buddhi as brain. Brain is a new thing, what we nowadays call, oh, he's very brainy, he say. He's got a lot of brain. But brain is different than buddhi, that we have to know. So, because this buddhi is a mechanism inside your subtle body. Brain is something here, isn't it? And that they are arguing about, man has got more than the women, and women has got 12 ounce, man has got 16 ounce, and their devotees are fighting over it, who has got more brain. So therefore, women should not be gurus. They are arguing all these things, because you got only 12 ounce, then you got 16 ounce. but they completely got off the track. This buddhi, what Krishna is talking about, is not this brain. Buddhi is something, it's a mechanism inside our subtle body. There's four things in the subtle body. Mind, intelligence, which we translate as intelligence because there is no other substitute for that. False ego and chittam. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. Manasa is sankalpa vikalpam. Buddhi is... what is the definition of the buddhi? Nishyalpiya buddhi. That decision making, what comes from inside. That is buddhi. Then ahankaram, false ego. And chittam, the thought waves, which becomes as a vasana inside, that is chittam. So, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. I'll use exactly those words, because that's the right precise words. Those four things combined together is called our subtle body. They are not different, they are one and the same. According to the function, they are spoken. They're all coming from the same one source, one energy. But it takes in these four different forms. So, these four things inside, in the subtle body, manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam, out of that thing which is buddhi there, it's a mechanism there, what comes out in there. So, sushma vishayam, very, very subtle things, when it is spoken, able to capture that is called buddhi. That is called buddhi. Sushma vishayam, very sushma. So, what does that intelligence does? It decides, this is good and this is bad. That is what it does. This is good and this is bad. Always able to discriminate. For example, when you are falling into the association of people who are engaged in some serious sinful activities, say alcohol or any other kind of things like that, at that time able to differentiate and say that this is bad and able to pull out of it, that is buddhi. Equally, gambling or intoxication or eating other things, and illicit relationship with women, things like that, where you are able to discriminate carefully, that is called buddhi. Buddhi's symptom is that. It's not based on what... Sometimes you'll see some people are very brainy, and they have developed a lot of technological scientific achievements they had in their life, Nobel Prizes and all that. But the kind of things they've gone and done in this world is unforgivable. Many things like that they have done, isn't it? So, that is not buddhi. For example, you'll talk about, say, this person who invented the atom bomb. Now, he had brain, he has used it, but he didn't have buddhi. The result, what we have to, because they have created that now, it has become a demon on its own, creating so much fear in people's mind, isn't it? So, using the brain to develop something, but he didn't have the buddhi to know that it was a wrong thing to do. So that is lack of buddhi. So buddhi and brain are two different things. So normally what happens is, this discrimination between this is good and this is bad, that is buddhi. Something has come in front of you. You are looking at some image or some person.
or something has your attention has fallen on that. Your attention has fallen on that. So what did the eyes do? Immediately the eyes transmits that form, takes it inside and gives it to the gives it inside to the subtle body. Gives it to the subtle body. And immediately a picture is formed inside in your subtle body at that time. Suppose you see some person, as soon as the eyes transmits that message about that person into you, inside your subtle body you form an image of that, isn't it? Centered around him or her, whatever it is, you form around him. So, and some form it comes. Buddhi looks at that image, what you have created inside, and it says like this. Say a dog is coming, and the dog has nobody is controlling the dog. It is barking at everyone. It is ready to pounce upon you, and it has come to you like that. Mind is saying to you, immediately as soon as it sees the dog, because the eyes have transmitted the form of the dog to you, mind says from inside that he is angry, the dog is angry, it's coming to bite you. And who decides that? It is at that time the false ego joins there. False ego says to the mind, that with the mind, and says, the dog is coming to bite me, it says. The false ego, see how it operates inside in the subtle body. First the senses reports about the object. When the object is coming closer to you, in this case, for example, a dog is coming to bite you, the mind is also saying to this that the dog is angry and it may bite me. I get this thought inside. Simultaneously, the ahankaram, false ego, joins that and says that it's coming to bite me. It's coming to bite, but it's coming to bite me, it says no. It says no. So immediately the intelligence gives the instruction, jump onto the top of the tree to escape from the dog, isn't it? And the body jumps onto the top of the tree. And all these things have happened very fast. In a few seconds it has happened. This is a material intelligence. It's just an example of a material intelligence. So if the same awareness, intelligence, is used in the field of spiritual life, and is capable of waking up of the self inside, knowledge of the self inside, and make us aware of the existence of the soul inside, then, or what they call it as in the Vedantam, they call it as Atma Analma Vivechanam. Atma Analma Vivechanam. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekam. Another word they use it like that. Atma Analma Vastu Vivechanam. That is the word in the Vedantam. When it wakes up inside and creates that capacity to separate between the real and the unreal, that means the soul and the matter. When that discrimination power builds up inside, so therefore, that, and you start inquiring, who am I in this? When that question comes up, that buddhi, that is called a sushma buddhi, or Krishna calls it as buddhi yogam. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita, this buddhi yogam comes in a few places. We talks about this buddhi yogam, but really they don't understand that how this buddhi yogam works. Buddhi yogam is this buddhi yogam. Just like this material example, when the dog comes, you mind, how the ego joins the mind, and then the intelligence makes the decision to climb to the tree and to escape from the dog. In a similar way, within ourselves, when in the field of spiritual knowledge, if we have developed that nature of waking up the self from within, of the soul within, and if it escape, and it becomes capable, in other words, because intelligence, this jnanam inside, it has got different capacity. Something is waking us up inside in the subtle body, isn't it? That with the mind and the ego joining together, and the intelligence making the decision to climb onto the top of the tree to escape from the dog. In a similar way, when we hear Bhagavad Gita, if it is waking us up into the platform of the soul and making us aware of our own identity, spiritual identity, in spiritual topics, if it is waking, creating knowledge inside, or the knowledge of the soul inside, or able to discriminate that self is different from the body, different from the mind, intelligence and all that, and you start asking this question, who I am, if this question is building up strongly inside, that sushma buddhi, that subtle intelligence is called buddhi yogam. It's called buddhi yogam. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see this. Few places Krishna says buddhi yogam, buddhi yogam. Dadami buddhi yogam dam yenamam upayandide. Krishna says in one place, there is another place in the third chapter or something, he talks about buddhi yogam. This is that buddhi yogam, what he says here. So, in the same chapter, Krishna says, in this very same chapter, those who are executing bhakti, I give them buddhi yogam. Krishna says, give them, dadami buddhi yogam dam yenama upayandide, isn't it? So, one who has got that buddhi, he is buddhiman. So, one who has got that description, that capacity to discriminate like this, you have to call him as buddhiman. In other words, one who has got the capacity to wake up to that awareness inside. We are always talking about consciousness and awareness, isn't it? So, if we wake up to that reality, and if our attention falls on that consciousness or awareness, and if your intelligence is working in that direction, then you can say you are intelligent. You are buddhiman. That's the word. Krishna says you are buddhiman. Otherwise not. Simply hearing is not sufficient. In other words, somehow or the other, the attention has to fall on the soul. So, jnanam, Krishna mentions that before. That jnanam, it is taken in different ways, knowledge of the topics outside in the world, which also we call it as jnanam. But jnanam, Atmadi Padarthanam Avabhodaha. Atmadi Padarthanam Avabhodaha. Which we have seen in that term. Then Kshama. Kshama, what does Krishna say? Kshama means. Kshama means capacity to tolerate anything. Whatever you have been given physically or mentally, any kind of pain is given, able to tolerate that. So, here there is something important. This kshama, this quality called kshama, before you have realized the self, to what extent you had that capacity to tolerate, which is kshama, to that extent the strength of your spiritual realization. You know what I'm saying? Suppose you had a great degree of strength in kshama, tolerance in you, before you realized the self, depending on the degree of that tolerance, the degree of your knowledge also. They are connected. After realizing your self, realizing the truth, you cannot cultivate it, kshama. This is the difficult. This you have to study the people who have realized the truth. You will see this in them. Some people extremely tolerant, isn't it? Some people are there, extremely tolerant. Some people totally intolerant. Blows up very fast. Is it not? So what Shastram is telling us is, before realizing the truth, self, if you had cultivated a very high degree of tolerance, the strength of your jnanam, knowledge, will also be very deep. It will be very deep. But after you have developed this knowledge in you, self-realization, if you try to cultivate this kshama, it won't work. it won't work. That may be found a little bit difficult to understand, isn't it? How does that work? Let's explain that. The problem is that the after realizing this knowledge, in other words, after, say, you have practiced spiritual life for a while, for quite a while, and you have certain realizations about the nature of the body, nature of the soul, and your spiritual identity, everything. You have all that. But sometimes you will see some people who have self-realization, but they also lose their temper very easily. Have you noticed that? That's also there. They can become very quickly react to certain situations. That's because their knowledge is not sufficiently strengthened by the degree of tolerance what is necessary. And if at this stage if they try to cultivate tolerance, it won't work. They cross that stage. This has to be there before realizing the self. It's a very important thing. That is why this is what is preparing for spiritual life means. When you prepare for spiritual life, without all these qualities, it is possible that you may study books, hear a lot, do a lot of reflection, and from there you will come to some self-realization state, you will come. But when that happens, it is possible in certain situations you may drop from there, fall from there. So here, Krishna is saying here, the person who has created a lot of tolerance in life, as far as he is concerned, his personality becomes insignificant. That is the symptom of this person with a lot of tolerance. Lot of tolerance, the personality becomes insignificant. That is what has happened to him. And when that happens, what is exactly his realization? As far as he is concerned, vastu is one. It is unbroken, present in everyone. This intolerance comes from where? Due to the presence of two, dvaidam. From dvaidam comes intolerance, isn't it? Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abedasya viparyayo smriti. In the Ekadasha Skandam, Kavi Maharshi says this. So you can see that that with the realization, a person who has got a very deep level of tolerance, for him, his knowledge is very pure and his realizations are so strong, even if someone offends him or gets criticized by someone, he knows very well that he has no contact with the other person on a bodily level. Therefore, that is what it said here, before you realize the knowledge, before you reach that state of knowledge, sadhana chatushtayam is important. In the Jnanamargam, the process of knowledge, they will mention this very clearly. What are they? They say that you can take to the process of knowledge provided first you cultivate all these things. What are they? And one of them is this kshama. Shamam, damam, titiksha, uparati, shraddha, samadhanam. This is one of them. Alma. Vastu vivegam. Nitya anitya vastu vivegam. Ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam. Shamadamadi shal sambati mumukshatva. These four things are called sadhana chatushtayam. Sadhana chatushtayam. They are to be done as a sadhana. Has to be done as a sadhana. And if these four things are executed well, and you have got a very high degree of that, which one? Nitya anitya vastu vivegam. That means ability to see the matter and the spirit very clearly inside without any problems. Ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam. No desire to enjoy either in this world or go to heavenly planets and to enjoy there. Shamadamadi shal sambati. This what Krishna has spoken here. Shamam, damam, titiksha, uparadi, shraddha, samadhanam. The six different things. That is called shamadamadi shal sambati. And then finally, mumukshatvam. An intense desire for liberation. If all these things are very strongly present in a person, then that person, if he cultivates spiritual knowledge, it will be very robust. In him. It will be very robust in him. If a person doesn't have any of these sadhana chatushtayam, or what we spoke about, if he cultivates spiritual knowledge, his knowledge will be always shaky. Always. He will also have the knowledge, but it will be very shaky, very easily it will get disturbed. So that's why here it says, Kshama, that capacity to tolerate anything, if you develop it prior to self-realization, and then self-realization happens, that knowledge at that time will be very firm inside, very firm inside. Otherwise, it will be very wavering nature. It will be very wavering nature. So as much as possible, sadhana chatushtaya sambhati, that's what it is called, acquiring these qualities, that should be done as much as possible before the awakening of the knowledge inside. Before awakening of the knowledge inside. And what is that kshama there inside that? Kshama is nothing but when the pain comes to the body, able to tolerate the pain. Able to tolerate the pain. It's just like sometimes you'll see when the mosquito bites, we find it difficult, isn't it? Yeah. You see this all the time. People go and buy all kinds of creams and lotions and other things to protect. And still mosquito comes sometimes. We know the mosquito does cause problem. Mosquito is one example. There's so many other things. Sometimes. But even a small mosquito bite, if it is disturbing us so much, then, so he says here, So somebody asked this question, when you are sitting in meditation, especially you go to the hills and mountains and all that, and if you are engaged in meditation, definitely mosquitoes will come there. So should I stop my meditation and start beating and killing all the mosquitoes what's coming to bite me, or should I continue with the meditation? So the answer to that was, when it was spoken like that, he said, you should think at that time, the mosquito is doing you a favor. What is that favor? It's telling you are not this body. You are the soul. And the mosquito is telling you that. And he's telling you that you are not this body, and he's biting you. It's biting you and enjoying your blood. It's enjoying your blood and saying that you are not this body. And at that time, if you beat that mosquito, one body is beating another body, isn't it? So little disturbances like that, like the mosquitoes, first we have to tolerate, and then we have to tolerate the bigger ones. That's all the bigger ones. So only if you do like that at the old age, bigger distress will come. Smaller distress is this mosquito and all, you can bear with it. But when you get older, there's a lot more bigger distress is on its way, going to come. And each one of them will be a very powerful shock. That's going to come. It's on its way. Nobody can stop it. It's coming, going to come. First with the body itself. Then all closer attached to this body, one after the other saying goodbye and going away. They will all go. One day or the other, they'll all go. It's all a shock every time the system gets a shock, one way or the other. And always this body, as Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, the only thing it does to you whole life is keeps you frightened all the time. Frightening you every moment. And finally, before it leaves, it gives you a big fright and then it goes. Isn't it? Finally, it leaves you after frightening you for a long. Some people, they come to a stage that you get so frightened. You can see if you observe older people particularly. In the young age, you don't feel it so much because your body is not giving you so much trouble. So you can somehow tolerate the other inconveniences. But at the old age, when your own body is turning against you and showing no gratitude to whatever you have done to that body, and it is acting its own selfish way, at that time you will start wondering that how will I have the strength to bear all these things, isn't it? Just you need to get some serious problem for the body, that's enough to get disturbed. Everything goes, then there is no Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, everything finished. Then 24 hours, the anxiety builds up inside. What shall I do now? What shall I do now? So if you follow this kshama, Krishna is saying that when at the old age when it comes, you won't complain very much. So all these disturbances, there is no solutions. Many disturbances in the body, when it comes, except to tolerate it, there is no other solution. There is no other solution. So in the many, many famous devotees, that is how they have dealt with this issue. Tyagaraja's case, if you look at it, what he said to Ramachandra about it. Ramchandra and Tyagaraja, their conversation is very interesting. How Tyagaraja talks to Ramchandra. He says to Ramchandra, when I was singing very nicely in different ragas about you, you were sitting and listening to me very happily. When I chanted your name and completely surrendered to you, you blessed me. And when I worshipped you with in the deity, you were very pleased with me. When I lighted the incense and offered the arati to you, you were very pleased with me. Now I come to you and says to you, Rama, I am having problems at home and this material existence is a problem. You are saying to me, and when I am complaining like this, he says, you are saying to me, tolerate it. Tyagaraja is saying to Ramchandra, this is the conversation between them. He says, when I did all these things, worshipped you as a deity, and sang all these famous songs about Ramchandra, when he sang to him, Ramchandra says, wonderful, you are a very nice devotee. Everything is very good, he said. But when I had started getting all my trouble now, I have no food to eat, all the family members are starving, and they are also giving me trouble. His brother was giving me a lot of trouble, it seems, at that time. And when I complain about all that to you, you are telling me, tolerate it. So Krishna says, all my devotees, I have told them the same thing. Tolerate it. There's nothing else to do. So my devotees are like that. Ramchandra says to Tyagaraja, my devotees are like that. Tolerate it. That is called a kshama. That's called kshama. That capacity to tolerate it. What is the reason for that, for saying this? So, this capacity to tolerate, also Antaryami has to give it to you from inside. You can't tolerate it. You see, it is only a power that comes from Antaryami. That is what Krishna is saying in this verse. All these quality, what we have spoken here, it is nothing but what Antaryami gives from inside. Let any disturbance or distress come in life. Doesn't matter. If you have the capacity to tolerate it, isn't it? Then you are transcending that. In fact, distress will come. You can't stop it. But even when that distress comes, if one can tolerate it, that capacity to tolerate, Antaryami has to give that. And that Antaryami is not made of plastic. Antaryami is not a plastic thing. Antaryami has the buddhi, intelligence has to come from that. Knowledge has to come from that. Asamoha means that knowledge which is freedom from the illusion, and that jnanam also has to come from that. Then, in other words, in any subjects, able to work with proper intelligence and that power. And that knowledge which is required to execute that particular thing at the right way, that has to come from Antaryami. If it doesn't come from Antaryami, it is possible with the ego making the decision, it will fail. It will fail. Sometimes we say that many things, we get confused. What is the right decision to make, isn't it? So any decision made from ego is possible that it will fail. But anything that has come from Antaryami, that decision will survive. So that knowledge, proper knowledge of a particular situation and the action associated with that knowledge, they go together. They go together. And that capacity to make that decision with proper understanding inside, coming from the Antaryami, is called asamoha. Asamoha. In other words, not to get carried away by the illusion. Just an example, that when you are in a desert, at a long distance, far away, you see water. You see there is water. Person who is in knowledge, what will he do? He won't run there to get the water. Isn't it? He knows there's no water there. Then, so, person who is not in knowledge, he will think that there is water there and he will run there. And you will run all the way there to get the water. What they call as mirage, isn't it? Mirage. So, similarly, actually there is no water there, but he runs there thinking there is water. So he ran all the way there and he found there is no water, and then he ran back all the way this way. That shows that his moham has not gone away from inside. So that means in his mind he has some concept that there is some water there. This is called moham. So similarly, in our material life also, so long as we are thinking there is happiness in this world, there is a lot of happiness we have to get from here, that is called moham. That is called moham. One who has freedom from that moham happens, he will be very clear inside, there is nothing to get here, there is nothing to gain in this world. Ultimately, what is on offer here? What Krishna has spoken. What is that? Distress and temporary things. That's on offer. If you come to that conclusion, then you won't be working in that direction anymore in that way. That means he has the freedom from the moham. So this moham is another word which is called, instead of the word they use, it is brahmam. Brahmam is another word. So we'll stop there for a few minutes and we'll continue after that.
Buddhir jnanam sammoha kshama satyam dama shamaha sukham dukham bhavo bhavo bhayam cha abhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushti tapodanam yasho yashaha bhavandi bhava bhutanam matta eva pradak vidhaha.
So buddhi jnanam asamoham, we have looking at, there is various things mentioned there. Don't take it that these are another list Krishna is giving to us. Krishna has given a lot of lists in different places, what we should have. It's not like that this list is given. This list is given here to tell us all these things comes from me, from Krishna. It comes from Krishna. So the point is, Krishna is saying that buddhi jnanam asammoham kshama satyam damashamam sukham dukham bhavam abhavam bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushti tabodhanam yasho yasha bhavandi bhava bhutanam matta eva pratagvidha matta eva pratagvidha. So we have seen till this moham, what moham means, isn't it? Moham is like this, that some attraction in the world for something and feeling that that will solve our problems. This is a moham actually. Everybody has got that moham to some degree or the other. And one of the examples is that when you see in the desert you run and you are thinking that there is water there, I'm going to be happy by getting that water, it'll quench my thirst. And a similar way to live in this world all the time, making plans and thinking that everything is, one day it's all going to get better. That's why we are living in this world, isn't it? One day it's going to be. That day will never come, but still there's hope. Is it not? All of us, we are thinking, actually it's going the other way. It doesn't get better, it gets worse day by day. But something is from inside telling us, it's going to get better one day. And we know very well, it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. So far, so that is what keeps us going in this world, to keep on surviving here somehow. But looking into the body and looking into the mind and looking to everything else in this world, there is not even a slightest trace of anything going to get better. Everything is going to get worse, everything. So, but that moham inside, illusion inside, is making me think, no, no, it's not going to be like that. One day it's all going to get, everything will be alright, everything will get better. So, therefore, in Jnanamargam, this illusion is a big thing. They take it very seriously. If you are not free from illusion, Krishna is saying, then don't try this Jnanamargam process. It will not work. If you are not free from that illusion, that things are going to be better. In Viveka Chudamani, there is a very special words about that. To decide a person is a Jnani or a Jnani, this is the way, it says. What is that? If he has got still attraction for the topics in this world, enjoying in this world, look at that. If he has got still, then if he still has that illusion working in him, the meaning of that is he has not yet woken up properly. He has not yet woken up properly. If you have really woken up in this world, you won't feel any attraction in anything in this world. That is a real waking up. Real waking up. Just like children, when they sleep, when they are sleeping, they are in the night, sometimes they'll wake up in the middle of the night during sleep and they have seen something in the dream and they will ask you, I want that thing, what they have seen in the dream. Sometimes children do that in the sleep, what they have seen something. They'll ask for that in the wakened state. So they have seen that in their dreams sometimes. And they get up and they ask you for that, what they have seen in the dream. Similarly, this knowledge, it has come to the person on an intellectual level. Knowledge of the self. It has come to him on an intellectual level. But still, he is desiring things in this world. After studying Bhagavad Gita and understanding what Krishna has spoken, you have understood on an intellectual platform. And still you are asking for happiness in this world, looking for some solution to the problems here, and trying to fix everything here. That shows that it is this problem, this moham. That is where this asam moham Krishna is talking about. If it is asam moham, then this problem won't happen. That's why he says there that udhirjnanam asam moham. This asam moham is that you don't think anymore that things can be fixed here. Nothing can be fixed here. It will go on like this. And you will realize this also after a while, it is not possible to fix it here. When you are young, you think a lot of things can be sorted. People argue very strongly, why don't we do like this? Why don't we sort this out? Why don't we sort that out? There's nothing you can sort out here. You try to sort out, some other problem will come in, some other bigger problem will come in a much bigger way. So that is why Viveka Chudamani says like this, the way to decide some person is got proper jnanam or is a jnani. The way to decide that is, if he is still feeling that he has something to achieve in this world, or he still feels some conviction that he can solve the problems of this world, and if he and any topics in this world, if he is showing some interest, that means he has not woken up yet to the reality. Just like the children are asking things for what they have seen in the dream, he is also asking for the same things. He has got this knowledge of the self, but still he is asking for things in this world for his happening. Nidra sugat prajaha prajalpaha. So moham is still there. And how will that moham go? Again and again, go back to the self and strengthen the inquiry and sharanagati. Sharanagati, two things. One side self-inquiry, other side sharanagati, surrender. Surrender, always surrendering that Krishna is the doing everything. All my experiences, happiness or distress, pain or pleasure, everything that's happening to me is happening because Krishna is deciding everything, what I should get, what I should not get. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions about Sharanagati in the books, isn't it? The Sharanagati, totally surrendering to Krishna, that Krishna is the doer, everything. Krishna is making the decision, Krishna is giving the results. Krishna knows what's right and what's better for us. In that way, surrendering to Krishna, never allowing the ego to wake up inside. That's one side. The other side, constantly inquiring who is experiencing all these things. In other words, separating yourself from the ego and going back to the source, the soul. So that is what mentions here. So if one keeps on doing these two things, Sharanagati and self-inquiry, complements each other. One side self-inquiry, other side Sharanagati, surrender. If we continue to do that, it will get that clarity inside, and in due course of time, that moham will go. Self-inquiry develops this, free oneself from this moham. Moham will not go otherwise. Moham is a very difficult thing to get rid of. We may practice self-inquiry, we may read the books, we may reflect on this, but suddenly, in the power of Maya, we'll get attracted to it and we'll think we need to have it to be happy in this world. This is moham. So that moham will not go till Sharanagati becomes strong and till the inquiry becomes very deeper. So from there, moham, the state where there is asam moham, that state has to come. Just like light comes, darkness goes away in a similar way. Then dhammam. Dhammam we have seen, controlling the senses is the dhammam. One thing is, no matter how much you try, how hard you try, senses will cheat you. One day or the other, senses will cheat you. Just like if you Ekadashi day, you have struggled very hard to control the senses and you kept it under control. But Dwadashi day, next day, everything is very tasty. That's how the senses are. If Ekadashi day, you have managed to hold him under control, on Dwadashi day, he will cheat you. On Dwadashi day, he will cheat you. So how will that attachment go? How will that taste goes away from there? That is what it is. Krishna says here. So when Krishna inside us, Antaryami, who is the source of all happiness, if he shows you happiness from inside, then your taste for all the sense enjoyment will go. Otherwise it won't. These verses are only to show the power of the Antaryami from inside, what he is doing in us, inside us. That is why this was spoken. Buddhi, jnanam, asammoham, kshama, satyam, damam, shamam. Sukham, shamam. Shamam means always the mind in a very peaceful state. What we'll do when we discuss Bhikshu Gita, because that is the best place to discuss about the mind. It's some amazing explanations it is, that Bhikshu Gita in the Bhagavadam. Like I mentioned before, Ekadasha Skandam, there is four Gita. Dattatreya Gita, Hamsa Gita, Bhikshu Gita and Aila Gita. We have seen Dattatreya Gita and Hamsa Gita. But Bhikshu Gita, that Bhikshu, Avanti Brahmana, when he, that is verse, about 20-25 verses there, only discusses about the mind. Only. That's the only topic he has discussed. Because as far as he is concerned, if this power called mind, which comes from the soul, if that mind has come under control, then all the problems are finished. He says there is no problem with anything else in this world. Na devadalma grahakarma kalam manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. So when we discuss that, we'll discuss about the mind. Shamam means mind always in a very peaceful state. So you can see this, those who are performing meditation or samadhi, or those who are performing sadhana in the yoga margam also, they know this very well, that even that is not in our control. That's not in our control. Sometimes you can see that when there is sattugunam inside, which is also not in our control, this dhyanam meditation will come in a natural way to you. Isn't it? That is why you look into yourself all the time and see how is that sometimes you feel more spiritually inclined and sometimes you feel so separated from the truth. It all happens in our own life. Sometimes you feel the necessity to go strongly in the spiritual direction. And you feel more faith in Krishna's statements. And you feel that this is the only thing what is pursuing worth in this world. All that conviction comes very strongly from inside. Nobody has told you, but inside you get that understanding. And sometimes you become suspicious of everything. Bhagavatam, you become suspicious. You become suspicious of devotees. You become suspicious of Krishna. You become suspicious of the whole process itself. Sometimes it happens that way. Why is this difference coming? Not due to anything else. From inside, that you can see this, that change inside what is happening all the time. Without our own knowledge, this meditation comes. And similarly, sometimes without much effort, if you sit down and start reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you find it very interesting sometimes. Especially some parts in the Bhagavatam where Shuga Brahmarshi talks very, very subtle things. You become very attracted to it. And you continuously start reading that. And sometimes, no matter how hard you try to read Bhagavatam, you don't find any taste. Sometimes. Similarly, dhyanam, meditation also. You feel sometimes without effort, you get that dhyanam, meditation. And sometimes the mind is so flickering that it does not get you any concentration, anything. So there you can see that power for meditation, or able to focus on something and deep absorption, that's coming from another source. It's not in your hands. It's not in your hands. Mind also, you can see, if you observe carefully, in a month, many days you feel peaceful and many days is very disturbed. Isn't it? If you take a certain period of time, of course, astrologers link that with the astrology in one way. But leave aside also all that, astrology and everything. You observe your own daily life, you can see that in some days you feel peaceful and satisfied and sometimes you feel very disturbed and not feeling very good, not in a good mood. You feel like that, isn't it? So that is why the person inside, that Antaryami inside, he is the one keeping it. in that state, in the peaceful state and in the disturbed state. Therefore, in Shaiva Siddhantam, there is one famous personality, Appar. Appar, Sambandar, Sundar, about the Nayanar's devotee. He says here, everything is coming from him. Everything is coming from him, not from me. It's coming from him. Sukham, Dukham, Bhayam. What does Krishna say? Sukham, Dukham. Sukham, Dukham, Bhavo, Bhavam. Bhayam cha, Abhayam eva cha. Sukham, Dukham, Bhayam cha, Abhayam eva cha. So, now Krishna is giving some contradictions here. Have you noticed that? Sukham, Dukham. They are opposing things, isn't it? One opposes the other. And sometimes people say, I'm quite okay. I'm fine. We say like that, isn't it? So, when in this world, when we are situated in the modes, when you are situated in the modes, if you get any exciting experience, you can see that straight on your face. If you get an experience, for example, happiness. Suppose something, that shows, if some happiness is coming on the face, what it means is you are in the modes, in the three modes of nature. That's what is coming out, comes out in the face straight away. So this sukham, dukham, bhayam, abhayam, fear and fearlessness, happiness and distress, these are things which are contacted from the world outside. Contacted from the world outside. It is not your own. It's contacted from the world outside. So as long as you are in the three modes of nature, you are in the three modes, any exciting experience, it will come in the come on the face. So sometimes you can see when people first begin their spiritual life, they begin their spiritual life, after a few days they will say, I'm feeling quite good. You get a very good experience. First you come to the spiritual life, start following the four principles and chanting the holy name and bring some discipline in life, everything. And you're very regulated in your habits and you're giving sparing some time for studying Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. And you are chanting the holy, performing a particular sadhana process and living in a disciplined life. When all that happens, you feel certain happiness at that time. So, and after a few years, the same person will come to you and start crying. Everything has gone bad, he says. This is not working. That man has told me something, he has cheated me. And all sorts of things. The same person who was saying 2 years ago, he came and he said, oh, spiritual life is wonderful, I am so Krishna conscious. I feel I am fully fixed now. I know what I have to do in my life. And he says that, I got it in my hands, the truth. I know what the truth is, he says. And he's so convinced and he's so focused on it. And that person, after a couple of years, he says to you, that said, I don't think I can trust any of these people. He says, exactly opposite thing. And that is what, that contradictions is what Krishna is talking about here. He says, these contradictions, when you are in the sukham dukham, both these things are coming from Antaryami. Antaryami is playing this game with us. Antaryami is doing this to us. That sukham dukham, similarly, you talked about satyam also, we have seen what satyam means, isn't it? Satyam yatha drishtasya yatha shrutasya almanubhavasya parabuddhi samkrandaye tatha eva uchariyamanam vak satyam uchyate. Satyam uchyate. So satyam, truthfulness is also coming from him, from Antaryami. So, for example, everyone may not have everyone may not have that situation that he has to speak about the experience of the soul. Everyone may not do that in this world. There are many people who were situated on the platform of the soul, and after realization, without making any noise in this world, they left this world. There are many people like that. They did not preach, they did not talk to others, they stayed within that realization and lived like that. And they left this world in that way. So, when they get that experience, they themselves become caught up. Caught up means, with that experience, they don't want to go out and talk about it. they themselves totally satisfied because that is their niyati. Niyati means their destiny. In spiritual life, you will notice this. Some people, they have to save the whole world. And some others, they don't want anything to do with the world. They want to go away from here without causing any trouble to anybody. So both you see here. You will ask the question then, why it is like that? That is Antaryami's decision, that is. Antaryami decides that some person has to leave this world in realization, full realization, they will leave this world. There are many, many people like that who had never made any propaganda or any preaching or any kind of publicity in this world. They stayed in that truth and they left this world in total realization. And then there are others who wants always 24 hours in the mood of this spreading and preaching and all that kind of things. So Krishna is saying here, so in the case of a person that in this topic of spiritual life, in the case of a person, the ability to speak about their realizations and to spread that to others and to give the words, correct words for that person to present it to others, and that preaching and that everything, Krishna is saying, it's coming from the Antaryami. So then, that thing which is experienced in the spiritual level, and when that is broadcast in the world, that is truth. Others are not even considered truth. Okay, here you may see that Satyam, Prabhupada said also that Satyam should be spoken. It's true. But that Satyam is related to relative truth, not to the absolute truth. Absolute truth is this thing, that after realization of the truth, if that is spoken to the world, broadcast to the world, and the capacity to present it to the world in the proper way of that realization, Krishna says that comes from the Antaryami. And that may not happen to everybody. In some people's case it will happen, in some people's case it may not happen. That's the way it works. That this capacity to present the realization to the world after studying Shastram and after absorbing in spiritual life, everybody gets realizations, isn't it? You come to realize certain things about the truth and you get convinced, that's why it stays within you, it doesn't leave you. But some people will not reveal it to the world. It will keep to themselves and they leave this world on their own with proper realizations. Some others, they realize things and they want to broadcast to the world. And Krishna is saying that words, what's required for him to broadcast to the world and that desire to broadcast to the world, Krishna says everything comes from me, Antaryami inside. So this anubhuti means atmanubhuti, all the realization of the self, transmitting that into others' intelligence or injecting that and or to penetrate that into others, and the words that is used for that purpose, Krishna says that is satyam. So there is a prayers called praudhanubhuti. You can see that in the net you will mention this. Praudhanubhuti, there is a disciple going to the spiritual master. He says to him that, he says to the spiritual master, till I realize the truth, I have reflected on the Shastram very well. And I have performed a lot of self-inquiry. And I have performed a lot of sadhana also. I've done a lot of sadhana. And I have reflected on the self and I have studied Shastram. These are all what we can do, isn't it? He says, I've done all these things. And when I realized this, I left all reflection on the Shastram and sadhana. And I am feeling that a particular happiness inside. So when the disciple came to him, the spiritual master who was in that state already, he didn't think about the disciple that he is an ignorant person. So, disciple hasn't reached the same state as the spiritual master. Spiritual master, because he has realized the truth, and because he has realized the truth, he felt the necessity to transmit that to others. That was his niyati. Niyati means his destiny, you can say. Destiny was that he had to transmit to others. So, as it was at that time, this ignorant disciple came to him. And when ignorant disciples came to him, by now, he has given up his sadhana, who the spiritual master, and the shastra vicharam, or studying the shastram, everything, he has given it up. And he is situated on the platform of the self. So when the disciple came to him and says to him, I am an ignorant person, give me instructions. Give me instructions, he says to the spiritual master. So spiritual master says to him, Prauda nijanu bhudi galidam, dvaidan indrajalo guru, gudam gudam akhava drashto, adrushta gudhiyam, spashtam sudishalinam. Swande samyagihanu bhudam avisachishya avabhodayata, satyam samsmrudadasma vasma dragadam, naijam vijalo kanan. This is in the Prauda Anubhuti's first verse. What it says here is that this self who is inside, soul who is self inside, is very majestic. It's very majestic in appearance or in his self-experience also. He has already moved away from the duality of the world. Atmanubhavam. Atmanubhavam means when the self-realization happens, one of the aspects of that is freedom from the duality. Duality has left him. Duality, you know what it means, isn't it? Duality is not a very black and white thing. Duality means all our dealings in the world is in duality. Isn't it? Anything if you take, it's all in duality. Just like normal example is given, black and white, happiness and distress, and day and night, and boy and girl, man and woman. In this way, in everything you will see a duality here in the world. For example, when you want to deal with people, you look after your people first and you don't show much interest in others. So this is coming from duality. In everybody's life, these things do happen. Or your interest you look after, others' interest you don't bother. This is all due to duality it comes. So in the Atmanubhavam, by the realization of the self, duality leaves you. Duality goes away. And when duality goes, Dvaita Prapancham goes away. Dvaita Prapancham means Prapancha means the creation, the world. The world is dvaitam. Duality exists here in everything. Without duality, you can't conduct vyavaharam here, isn't it? For example, when you are doing any business in this world, if you are doing a business, you have to look after your interests, otherwise your business won't work. There itself duality has come. That means you know that the other person with whom you are doing the business, you have to be careful that he doesn't cheat you. And you have to be, and he has to be careful that you don't cheat him. This is what business means, isn't it? So when you go to a shop to buy some things, you will always experience this, isn't it? And then they will tell you that if any other company is giving it a lower price than ours, you come back to me, we'll give it to you. So why don't you do it in the first instance? This is all part of this vyavaharam in this world. Like all these insurance people, car insurance, house insurance. As soon as your time comes, they know very well when you are due for the insurance. 10 days or month before, they'll send you the offers. And if you don't give them any feedback, they'll send you another letter saying, if you get any offer lower than ours, then you come back to us, we will match that. So this way, this is that duality here. Vyavaharam. In all vyavaharam, this is there. Duality is there, isn't it? So that duality, Krishna is saying here, Gudam gudam adhoga drushta kthiyam spashtam sudhiralina sushtam dishalinam sudhashilinam. So, one who has got ajnanam in buddhi, this ajnanam in the buddhi, just like here the example, that when this dvaita prapancham, which means this duality, all that problems what it creates in vyavaharam for us, isn't it, when you have to deal with it. As soon as you go into Sushupti state, it's not there. There's nobody there to cheat you, and you can't cheat anybody there. It's a very happy state. So as soon as you go into deep sleep state, it has gone away. Just like this Dvaita Prapancham also goes away as soon as you come to realize the self. When the self is realized, the Prapancham or the creation does not exist anymore like the way as it is existing today for us. Isn't it? So, so one who has ignorance in intelligence, ajnanam, in the buddhi, for him, this knowledge is spashtam, is very clear. Is very clear. In other sentence, those who have ajnanam in the buddhi, for them it's not clear. For them it's not clear. This jnanam is very difficult to understand. One whose buddhi has got this ajnanam inside. Ajnanam inside. What they are saying is, in this Pravadhanubhuti, that in the Swapnam, in the dream state, in the Shastram, this vacant state is also considered to be a dream state. All our transactions now in the world is conducted in the dream. Because why? Nothing is real. As far as Shastram is concerned, nothing is real. But we take it so seriously that everything is very real for us, isn't it? But when we wake up from here, what Krishna is saying is that when you wake up from this state, that ignorance goes away. When you realize the self, that ignorance goes away, that I had all these transactions. Like every transaction, you have to be careful in the vacant state that you're going to be cheated. Somebody is going to rip you off some way, isn't it? And constantly the news, the media, everybody is alerting you. Be careful about this, be careful about that. Credit card scams and so many other things, isn't it? So all this fear, what comes to us is from the Dvaita Prapancham. Dvaita Prapancham creates this fear in us. But normally, in the dream state, you have done so many things you have seen. But as soon as you have woken up, all that fear what you experienced in the dream state has gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's a very interesting thing if you analyze it. When you wake up from a bad dream, you feel a relief, don't you? Why? Because you realized that that is not the truth, what you experienced in the dream. That's why you felt happy when you woke up from the dream. So when you escape from the dream by waking up to this vacant state, Krishna is saying, when you wake up from this vacant state to the transcendental state, you will also feel another relief, bigger relief than this, what you are feeling now. That's the point Krishna is saying. Do you see what I'm saying? That from the dream state, when you wake up to the vacant state, how you feel a relief? Bigger than this relief is the relief when you feel when you wake up to the realized state. Why? Because this vacant state what we have now is also not a very pleasant state, isn't it? Because full of cheating and lying and all sorts of things. So therefore, sachishyaya bhodaya. Yeah. So therefore, so what does the guru, spiritual master does is, he says that very matured in spiritual life and things which are in a very clear state for him, that is what the disciple wants. He says, I have no clarity in me, a lot of confusion about the truth, about the truth. So what does the spiritual master does? He says to him that he is going to give it to him what he is experiencing every moment in his life. That is spiritual life. So when a disciple who is in ajnanam or avidya, when he comes to the spiritual master who is in a realized state, when that conversation happens, he is in the realized state, completely on a different level. Disciple is in ajnanam, avidya inside. He is suffering from there. And he wants that clarity inside, wants to experience, because he knows that the duality of the world is disturbing him. Duality of the world is disturbing him. What does the guru does? He wants that, he wants to transmit that same experience what he has got in his realized state to him. But he does not know how to transmit to him. He does not know, because words cannot transmit that. This is the problem. It's not something you can give it to someone through words like that. You cannot give something to someone through the words like that. So, in order to transmit that to the disciple, he himself is struggling very hard. He uses his intelligence and he looks back into his own experience, into his own realized state. And then he keeps on looking at himself and the disciple, and he keeps talking about his experience to the disciple. And bhavo sukhasthiti, that means it is a very difficult thing for self-realized soul to get the message across. We are thinking that spiritual life, even if one is realized self, and if we are not completely pakvam, matured for that to receive it, his job is very difficult. He will try very hard in various ways to communicate with us, but because we are not ready for it, we fail. We fail. And that is all what's happening in the world. Many places, self-realized people are there, but because we are not ready for that, when we go to them, we find all sorts of problems, and the problem is coming from inside us. Inside us. And that is why it is wrong to think that it is the fault of everything with the spiritual master also, because we haven't purified ourselves, that maturity, what is expected, like this, what they say, sadhana chaturshtayam, nitya nitya vastu vivegam, iha mutra bhala voga viragam, shamadamadi shalsambhati mukshatvam. If all these qualities are there in a person in full, then as soon as he will meet a person, he will know that he is the person who can give it to him and he will get it from him. Unfortunately, what stops from that happening is this, that we haven't developed the sufficient spiritual qualities what's necessary for receiving the transcendental message, and that makes life difficult for that realized soul even. This you will observe in many, many people who had lived in this world in a spiritually realized state. How difficult it was for them to transmit the message to the people who have come to them for self-realization. So those who are situated like that, therefore, those who are sitting on the, say for example, one room to the other, you know, where the door is, those who are sitting there, he knows on both rooms what's going on in both the rooms, isn't it? That is his thing. Similarly, the spiritual master also, he knows very well what is going on inside him. He has the experience inside there. But he's finding it difficult to transmit to the person to whom he wants to transmit to him. So when he is able to do that, that is called Vedam. That is called Vedam. That is why that and that transmission happens very, very rarely, because Vedam is itself the proof of that. Vedam itself says that. It is not easy to transmit one's realizations to somebody else through words. Through words it is not possible. Parimitattvam chatvari parimitani, it says. Vedam says, every word has got four legs. Four padam, it's called. Every word that is spoken, it has got four padam. And only the realized souls know about this. everybody else, turiyam samam manushya vadandi. Normal people, they are only conscious of one of that. Out of these four parts of the word, before the word originates and before it comes out through the mouth, it has got four levels. Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. We are only conscious about Vaikari. Isn't it? Normally, what do you say? You say to others, be careful what you are saying, you say. So in other words, you are only pointing at the Vaikari. You don't tell him, be careful what you are thinking about. You don't say that. You say, be careful what you are saying. Say. So, before the word came out through the mouth, 75% of the activity has already happened inside. That is para, pashyandi, madhyama. It's only when Vaikari comes out, you give importance to it. So average person, ordinary people in this world, they give importance to Vaikari. They give importance to Vaikari. So when it comes out, that thought, what has developed inside person, only when it comes out in the surface level, that usage, that's the only thing what the ordinary person knows. Yani, realized soul, he knows that word in the form of sound from its origin when it has originated within him. From that stage, he is conscious of that. And he goes right up to the depth of it. He touches that and comes back. I don't know whether you will get this message, because Krishna says this in the Bhagavatam also. When he talks about in the Salsangam, he mentions that. Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasuti, he mentions there in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So, Jnani goes to the depth of the word and he touches the very bottom of it and he comes back from there. For us, when the word comes from the mouth, and that's all what we take note of. And because in Jnani's case, from his experience, Anubhava Mandalam, it is called, because it's coming from the experience level, you have to take it as it is Krishna. The word says Krishna. And those words which are coming from the experience of that person, that is called Satyam. That is called Satyam. In other words, when Jnani speaks, he speaks from his experience, isn't it? Anubhavam inside. And when that Anubhavam, he has already touched from the very bottom of it, which means from the para side. Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. Vaikari is the one which comes through the mouth in the form of words. And what he has experienced in the para, it's always very difficult to put it through Vaikari. Put it through Vaikari. Para means that experience, what he has in a very deep level, in a very subtle level. For example, so many things Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Those things, if you experience that in your subtle level, then you have got it. But if it simply remains on a vocal level, simply based on the words, then it has no much of an effect. So, therefore, Satyam or truthfulness, what Krishna is saying, Satyam, that's the word he uses here, isn't it? Satyam, Sugam Dukkam, Bhavo Bhavam, Bhayam Chapayam, Ahimsa, Samata, Tushti, Tabo Dhanam, Yasho, Ayashaha, Bhavandi, Bhava Bhudanam, Matta Eva, Pradak Vidaha. So, here, Kshama, Satyam, Damam, Shamam. That's Satyam, that's what we are discussing. Kshama, Satyam, Damam, Shamam. That Satyam, Krishna is saying, is only in the case of Jnani, he can only speak the truth. Only what Jnani, a realized soul, if he speaks something, that is the truth. Normally what we speak is not necessarily the truth. Truth is in two levels. One is in the Vyavaharam level. That of course is necessary for Dharmam. We have to follow that. Because in Vyavaharam level, if you talk asatyam, false things, you will never get any satyam in the absolute level. At least in Vyavaharam level, we have to keep the satyam. But Krishna's point is that if you come to the absolute level, only Jnanis what they speak is satyam. Not others. Those who have no realizations and those who are speaking through Vaikari only, without any understanding or realization inside, whatever they have spoken is not satyam. Satyam is only Jnani who has completely realized the truth, and because he has gone into the very depth of it and touched the very bottom of it, and because coming from the source, from the Paya Shakti, Paya Shabdam, therefore that is the truth. So that is why he mentions here. So, here, all these things, if we know that, Krishna is saying this only for the sake of upasana. All these things are happening inside a person, isn't it? This is not from outside. What is, which one? Buddhi, Jnanam, Asammoham, all these things. Kshama, Satyam, Damam, Shamam. Now, if you leave this behind, this is first about the absolute truth now. Now, normal things in this world, what Krishna is saying, not to speak anything which is against your own conscience. Against your own conscience. Because from inside, Antaryami will say not to speak things which are not truthful. That also. So, because it's coming from there, Antaryami gives a... only thing is, we do not know that this thing called conscience, isn't it? It's a conscience. What is conscience? Conscience is nothing but Antaryami's words from inside. Sukham, Dukham, Bhavam, Abhavam. And Ulpati, Layam. Fear means the security feeling. Feeling of security in this world. Bhayam. What is Bhayam? Bhayam means fear. Bhayam is this, who will look after me? Who will look after me when I am old? Everybody says, what is that? They make plans in this world for the future, isn't it? How I should make my plans for the future. That anxiety, that is that fear Krishna is talking about. And therefore they go and buy flats everywhere. Vrindavanam one flat, Mayapur another flat. Thinking that. Why? Because of the fear inside. Well, I'll be going to Mayapur because I want to be there to chant the holy name. And that's what that's a fear inside. It's a reflection of the fear. And business people also, they know this fear of the spiritualists. And they take advantage of that. And then they'll say, oh, you buy this flat in Vrindavan, right in the middle of the Krishna, next to Krishna Balaram Mandir, you got your flat. Why worry then? Everything is taken care of. All sorts of fear inside us, isn't it? Time of death, who will look after me? What will happen to me? Nobody will be there to care for me. Who will chant? If you are spiritually inclined, you will think, who is going to chant the holy name when I leave the body? Who will give me prasadam? What will I be thinking about it? In this way, fear grows inside a lot, isn't it? Krishna is saying all these kinds of fear, that is coming from lack of feeling of insecurity inside. So that's why all this activity, what you find here, because these are all new things. If you go back 100 years ago, and just 100 years if you go back, this situation didn't exist. People from all over the country were going to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Dwaraka or wherever they went. They didn't buy a flat and keep it there for the rest of the life to keep their spiritual life going. But that fear of insecurity inside, if I have some feeling that what will happen, therefore I should have a flat there to protect my spiritual life. Some feeling like that. This is all the symptoms of that fear inside. That fear of death. And at the time of death, what will happen? Because he has understood that at the time of death, if there is no devotees chanting around me, and if they don't bring me garlands and tulsi leaves and other things, I'm going to be going back. Because inside him, somebody is telling him that you have done all these things in your life previously. So you can expect a lot of trouble. So he's thinking that I'll escape from all that if some devotees come and chant around me. No, you won't. That's another illusion it is. So that is only for your own satisfaction. Devotees may do it, but may happen, may not happen. But the reality is this. Krishna is saying, all this experience of the fear of death, everything should go well before the death comes. Otherwise it has no meaning, all these things, isn't it? Well before the death happens, you should be freedom from the fear must come. Freedom from the fear must come. So he is thinking that by doing all these arrangements like that, that you can escape from the death, or you can escape from that fear. And you do anything, I have escaped from all that. But Krishna is saying here, actual security is just like this. He says that when a child, he feels secure when he's with the father and the mother. Isn't it? Exactly like the way, similarly, Krishna is our father and mother. When you are closer to Krishna inside, then you will feel the security without all these arrangements. So many things in the last 30, 40 years I've heard, and it has happened also, that people make so many arrangements to go to Vrindavan and to die there. But something happens, and then at the time of death, they were taken to Delhi or Agra or somewhere else, and they died there. It didn't happen. With all the best arrangements, I'm saying, it may not happen. It may not happen. So, but it shouldn't be like that. Anything, if you take security based on things outside, it is likely to be a disappointment later. If ever there is any security has to happen, it has to happen based on Antaryami inside. If Antaryami is not giving you shelter, and if you think you will get shelter anywhere else in this world, it may not happen. That is the message. Bhagavad-gita's message. That is why Krishna is talking about Antaryami here so strongly. He says your spiritual life should be centered around Antaryami to such an extent, even your bhayam, fear, fearlessness, all these things is coming from Antaryami, not from the objects outside. It cannot be dependent on the objects outside. That is the main point Krishna is making here. So that is why then you are always protected. That feeling for a child in the presence of the father and the mother. Similarly, once you have touched that truth inside Antaryami, you will always feel a happiness and a protection within. You will feel a happiness or protection within. Force behind you. That is why in the Bhagavatam, you remember, Rekshishye sarvasohatvam sanugam saparichadam. Who mentions this? Sada sannihidam viram tatramam. Who says this? Vamanamurti says to Mahabali. What did he say to him? He says to him that in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see. Rekshishye sarvadoham tvam sanugam sabarichadam sada sannihidam vira tatramam drakshade bhavan. Vamanamurti and Mahabali had a big discussion. Vamanamurti and Mahabali had a big discussion. And at the end, Vamanamurti took away everything from Mahabali. All his assets, everything, including him. In other words, he handed over his ego also to him, put his feet on his Mahabali's head and said to him, and Mahabali said, this is all what I have got. That means his ego has handed over to. So after that, Krishna is saying to him, Rekshishye sarvadoham tam sanugam saparichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshade bhavan. Now, if you read that verse, normally it is spoken like this. They send Mahabali to Sutalam planet. Mahabali was told to live there. And Krishna, Vamanamurti says to him, I'll be standing outside as your gatekeeper and you can see me all the time watching you, looking after you. Basically, what it is Krishna is saying here, Rekshishye sarvadoham tvam sanugam sabarichadam. A person like you, Mahabali, who has completely surrendered to me, including your false ego, sada sannihidam veera, I am present inside as the super soul, tatramam drakshade bhavan, you will see me there inside and this fear will go, leave you once for all. You will get completely released from that fear. And that is the way to escape from that fear, not by external arrangements. That is that words Krishna is saying to us. By externally making arrangements, you won't get freedom from the fear. Only through realization of Antaryami inside, Krishna's presence inside, and taking Krishna shelter inside, Antaryami shelter, surrendering to him, and through the self-inquiry, you have to free yourself from the fear. Not by external arrangements. It will not work. Because time and again it is proven that it doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. So many cases. Why? Because they didn't study Bhagavatam that properly, that they did not understand that Bhagavatam is saying to us that Rekshishye sarvadoham tam sanugam saparichadam sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshase bhavan. If you read that verse, you can see the whole thing is centered around the Antaryami. Sada sannihidam veera, I'm always present there. Whether Vamanamurti is standing there with a stick in the hand in Sutalam, I don't know. We have not seen, you haven't seen, I don't know. But the message is very clear. Sada sannihidam veera tatramam drakshase bhavan. I'll be always there to protect you. Always there to protect you. So we'll stop there today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll continue tomorrow.